the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that?
Okay, good. I was talking there for a second. I didn't hear you.
Okay, I could hear you.
Okay, well, all is well that ends well.
I wouldn't go that far. We'll see.
Well, yeah. It can only go up from here.
Hopefully. Welcome to MMA and Stuff on HalfGuarded.com. My name is Matt. That is Mike. You guys all know the drill at this point. We've been doing this about a year now, so we're going to just get right down to the brass tacks of it. We'll talk MMA, then we'll talk some stuff.
Fucking liberals want more taxes already. I get it.
They do. They love them.
Even if they're brass.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever it takes. So this past weekend, we had UFC 215. Did you watch this show?
I did.
I did not see much of it.
I should say, okay, I watched most of it.
Okay, I watched, what's the opposite of most?
Very little.
Yeah, but I feel like it should be one word.
A smidgen?
What's the opposite? That's weird. Well, it's least.
A dash? A dash? Yeah. A pinch of the show?
Yes. I dabbled in it, but I tried to record it, but I tried to record the prelims. And the first hour was like golf or something.
Oh, yeah, that was
so
bullshit.
So it didn't even record. It must have been on – it's weird how that happens, but it was preempted for golf. So I missed the first hour. And then the main show I only saw bits and pieces of, and I actually fell asleep during it. So there you go.
That's what happened to me. I was watching the main show. I was having a good night. I'm just relaxing. Next thing I know, I wake up in the morning. I'm like, all right, I remember that submission, but what the hell happened to the main event? I'll tell you what happened. I fell asleep. And that's a good way to segue into... I don't know if you're going to segue into it. Actually, we're already talking about it, so yeah.
Into the true main event? Well, originally, I figured we should talk about what was supposed to be the main event and didn't even end up happening. Last week, we spent an hour talking about Demetrius Johnson and comparing him to Anderson Silva, and he might break the record, or does the looter count fight for Anderson or not? Where does Demetrius fall historically? And then Ray Borg, a couple days before the show, pulls out from the flyweight title fight with DJ due to we still don't even know. It was listed as an illness, whatever that means. It could be weight cut related, or he got the flu. Who knows?
Weight cut related.
You think? Yeah. Is that fact or a guess?
Well, you people would call it a guess. In my reality, it's a fact.
You people? What does that mean?
People that aren't me.
Oh, it sounded racist.
No, that too. Blacks.
You're not supposed to say you people.
I can say it when I'm referring to all 7 billion of you, or however many of you are now.
So, anyway, there was no replacement found for Borg, obviously on 2 days' notice.
Which is weird, given that there's two dudes who are highly ranked on the undercard who you would think exist for this exact purpose.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression DJ's not taking a last-minute fight anymore and changing opponents and doing UFC any favors. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from him. He's not totally happy working for the UFC and called it, like, amateurish to take a new fight. He did do an interview afterwards and said he wouldn't have done it. I don't know if it was even offered to him, but he made it sound like he wasn't into it. And I also know he's been talking a lot about Malky being his new manager now. And we know his history with John Jones and UFC 151 and... You know, that team probably isn't really up for taking a last-minute change of opponents, even if it's two guys you've already beat the shit out of.
Maybe Malky likes Mighty Mouse because it's like what John Jones would be if he wasn't a fuck-up and a cheater. What I'm saying is that he's a mini John Jones. Well, I'm thinking, like, if John Jones, in my reality here, didn't take steroids, he'd be a 125-pound fighter.
Yeah, that'd be a rough cut.
Like Mighty Mouse. I'm sorry, John Jones is Mighty Mouse with 100 pounds of drugs in him. All kinds of drugs, dick pills galore.
Yeah, I mean the dick alone is probably 50 pounds.
Well, when you're carrying a hog like he's got.
So they didn't find a replacement for Borg, but it looks like they're now going to fight at UFC 216 on October 7th in Vegas. So, you know, 3 weeks away from now. And that card really needed another top fight. That was the one in Vegas.
This card needed a top fight.
I agree, but
I mean, it's
not like they're moving this show to the this fight to the MSG show.
No, but like, you combine 15 and 16, you still don't have a pay per view. Like, yeah, you got a really good card, but come on, man, fuck off for making people try to pay for that shit.
So anyway, Borg and DJ will now, hopefully, in theory, fight on October 7th, UFC 216, and that's the Ferguson-Kevin Lee interim lightweight title fight show. And I think second from the top for Doom and Derek Lewis, so it gives it a little something else. I'll be interested to see which one is actually the headliner, because usually, like, they do it by weight. Usually the heavier guys would be the main event, but is that the case with an interim title fight? I don't know.
I would do it by reality, and not just my reality, but the actual reality, which is one of those fights is for a title, and one of them is not. So I would say Mighty Mouse goes on top, and if not, holy shit, imagine the disrespect being shown. Not that it really matters, but they would put him underneath an interim title fight as he sets one of the greatest records in MMA history. It's like benching Barry Bonds the day that he's going to hit 70, or I guess 671 in the modern world.
Johnson was also out in the media afterwards complaining, I guess like Monday or Tuesday, before the fight had been rebooked, that he hadn't been paid yet. Do you think he should have got something? He was there. He made weight. Well, okay. He's never missed weight in his career. But if he had gone and made weight, do you pay him? Do you give him something? Or do you say, we're going to see what's going to happen with Ray Borg, and we'll get you a fight if he's better? Like, how do you think they should handle that from an employer's perspective?
I mean, look, they can just fuck you around all they want. They don't have to do anything. It's not like Mighty Mouse is going anywhere. Enjoy Bellator. Say hi to Ben Henderson. It does seem, and I read an article, and maybe it was Mighty Mouse saying it, but there is a general rule with the UFC, which is if they can get you the quick turnaround and they know they're going to do it, they won't give it to you. If they know you just got screwed out of a real payday, they'll give you your show money at least. I think with everybody looking at it going, look, it's just another month, and don't give us this, I worked so hard for this. Like, you put in an 8-week camp. That's not a real long camp, and you only have like 2 or 3 more weeks to train. You're fine. It's probably, and you know what? He'll probably get a bigger payday at UFC 216 anyways.
You think that show will draw better, you think?
I would rather watch that show. I mean, that's a real – I mean, at least it's in America.
True.
But honestly, goodness, I sit there and I'm kind of going through my head, and yeah, there's actually a couple better fights probably on 216, but my brain really did just think Edmonton I only associate with orange and blue, and Las Vegas is Las Vegas. Which would you rather fight in?
Absolutely. Vegas. So in what ended up being the main event, we had Amanda Nunes defending her bantamweight title, defeating Valentina Shevchenko by split decision, 47-48, 48-47, 48-47. I did not see this fight. You're going to have to fill me in a little bit. I know it was close. Shevchenko afterwards felt like she should have won and should have got the decision. And obviously the scorecards were close. One judge gave it to Shevchenko, and the other two had Nunes winning 3-2. What were your thoughts on it? Did you watch it when you woke up?
Well, did you see any highlights of this?
I saw, like, Nunes got a couple takedowns.
Okay, so you saw some highlights.
Yeah.
Okay, you saw the whole fight.
Okay.
Like, it was the Tim Sylvia in his prime. It was just, like, one of those awful fights where Nunes would just jab and hit a teep, and Shevchenko would try to time her coming in, and then they just repeated it ad nauseum for 25 fucking minutes. There was an occasional, like, one or two takedown attempts, maybe. And they didn't even really try that. One in the fifth round where it looked like Shevchenko tried something and missed it, and Nunez just kind of rolled with it and got the back. But she got tied up by Shevchenko, didn't really land any damage, just didn't even try a submission, and just kind of rode her for a little bit. The fight was garbage. Nobody could claim they were screwed. When the fight was over, like, I saw them all kind of parading around on, like, when Shevchenko was, like, very sad, I'm sitting there going, bitch, it could have been 50-45. Like, it was one of those fights where you could have, with the exception of probably the fifth round, because at least Nunez was, like, with back control for 30 seconds, every round was the same. They all could have gone either way. Nobody will ever want to see this again. Their first fight wasn't that great. This was fucking awful. I cursed them both. I really hope something, I want something bad to happen to them. Not like I don't want them to get hurt, but like maybe misplace something really important to them for a while, like something that extruded their head, like they lose their grandmother's ancient brooch that she smuggled in her snatch away from the Nazis or something.
In her snatch?
Yeah, you gotta hide shit where you can when the Nazis are coming.
I don't hear snatch used that much anymore.
Well, you gotta get out there and talk to the ladies. It's their word of choice. Like, if Sex and the City comes back, they're just gonna be about my snatch this and my snatch that.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. So Shevchenko says she's gonna move down in weight, go down to 125 once that division gets going, and then Nunez. I don't know who she even who would be the top contender for her now.
I don't know.
Like
Holly Holm.
Because if you think about it, a year ago, like women's bantamweight with Ronda and Holm and Miesha Tate, it was like this division that drew and was important and had some potential to be a real money making, significant division for the UFC, and that's just gone now. It's like nobody cares about Nunez, who basically destroyed the two most popular women's fighters, retired them in UFC history. And now there's like no real potential contenders, no draws, and it just feels like it's a division that's dying.
Yeah, it's bad enough that I'm right now have to go to, I guess I'm going to ESPN to see what their rankings are. Just to kind of remind myself of who the fuck is left.
Well, like, I mean, right now, Holm is ranked number 2.
She just had the win over Betch, and that was a great win. It was. The fight was so awful.
It was a good finish. He landed the one good kick, but beating Betch isn't saying much.
No, but it was just awesome because of Betch's bullshit.
I agree. But so you've got Shevchenko at 1, Holm at 2, and Juliana Pena at 3. And yeah. Raquel Pennington at 4.
And then Jermaine Durandamé. Caitlin Vieira just got that win over Sarah McMahon. Nobody gives a fuck. She's a fucking... God, that's what we need. Some unknown Brazilian named Ketlin. And Ronda Rousey's ranked number 9, and Tanya Evinger's 10. The number 10 ranked 135-pound fighter in the UFC has never fought at that weight in the UFC. Fucking what a hell of a division. And, you know, it should probably go down to 125. They're all going to go to 125. And then it's just, holy shit, this is going to be awful for a long time. Like, this is just a disturbing dearth of talent.
But do you get what I'm saying? Like, a year ago, nobody would have said
that.
Oh,
yeah. It's
just funny how it's. I mean, I feel like it happens with divisions. They go through stages. Like light heavyweight right now is garbage, and you look at middleweight and you're like, wow, middleweight's pretty good. They've got some good guys in there, you know.
Yeah, lightweight's been the one division that I think has historically just never seemed to have any of these lulls. There's just so many dudes. But like even like right now, 170 is kind of boring. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's really boring. It's so boring that their boring champion says he's going to, I'll let these other boring guys figure out who's going to fight me in another boring fight later. I'm going to get some boring surgery. And you know what that means? We got an interim title coming up. Oh, yeah. You just know it.
Yeah, hopefully. I love them. But even like welterweight now, you look at it, and it's three guys who moved up from lightweight in the top 10 with Cerrone, RDA, and Masvidal. So, yeah, lightweight's very, very deep. It always has been. And now some of those guys are even moving up and doing well. So, just interesting. So, yeah, I don't know who's next for her. I don't know if Pena has a fight lined up. She's ranked third, or Pennington. But those are probably the top two most likely contenders, and it's like nobody's ever heard of them.
Pena had a little bit of momentum until Shevchenko tapped her back in January. I don't know what the hell Rocky's done lately. I remember, I feel like her last fight she looked kind of good, if I'm remembering correctly, but maybe faded. Maybe she and Pena fight. I think that if you're the UFC, they desperately want to get Pena into the title fight. That's just going to be, they're going to do everything they can. Because she's got more of a name than almost any of the other ones, and
Pennington's off four straight wins. She's got Andrade, Correa. Wait a minute. Yeah, Elizabeth Phillips and Misha Tate. So the Tate win was the one. That was the last time she fought. She hasn't fought in almost a year. It's been a while. She must have a.
Is it because she got married?
I don't know. That only takes a few minutes.
You gotta get a lot of fucking, man. I wonder if that rule applies for the women fighters.
What do you mean?
The whole don't have sex before your fight.
Oh, because you're more like...
exhausted.
Fired up.
They always say guys aren't supposed to do it. And it was always thought kind of like, you don't want to burn your energy, but you want to keep all your extra testosterone inside of you or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know what women would do.
I'm not sure either.
Increase their estrogen? I don't know.
In the new co-main event, we had Rafael Dos Anjos defeating Neil Magny by a submission with an arm triangle in 3:43 of the first. Real impressive performance by RDA here. Obviously, he's the former lightweight champion, moving up to 170. And he looked great. Like, he took Magny down, got in, like, half guard, moved to side control, and just sunk in the arm triangle. And, like, Magny's good. Magny's been a ranked welterweight fighter in the UFC for a few years now. This was a really impressive performance.
Magny wrecked Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah, Magny's good.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, like, again, we're seeing more and more of this, where these guys are having a lot of success moving up. Like, it always sounds like a cliche, and some part of me always hates when Rogan goes off on it, but, like, Dos Anjos just took out two dudes, Tarek Seffney back in June, and now Magny. Those are good fighters. Like, they're top 10 guys, and not only that, they're big dudes. These are, big, true welterweights. I'm incredibly impressed by Dos Anjos. I honestly, with the way he's looked, there's no reason he won't fight for a title in like a year or so, which I never would have thought I'd say, but keeps doing this. I could see him beating some of these other dudes. I mean, look, he's already beat Cerrone.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the question is the size eventually going to catch up with him? Because he's smaller, he's not going to have the length. You never know when he starts fighting the true elite of the division. But I agree, he looks really good. I mean, speaking of Magny, I mean, he's gone 10-3 in his last 13 in the UFC. His only losses are to Damian Maia, Lorenz Larkin, and RDA. It's pretty good.
Think about how big this company is now, that Neil Magny's had 13 fights.
He's had more than that. He's had, well, he was on a run there where he won 7 in a row, but he debuted in the UFC in February of 13 and has had 17 fights.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he's active.
And that's in like 3 years, 4 years, whatever. I can't do math. But like that's there's a time they're setting records for Michael Bisping's had like the most fights in UFC history, and he's like it was like 19. I'm like, shit's crazy, man. That's all I'm trying to say. This is a really dumb aside.
Magny fought 5 times in 14 and 5 times in 15.
That's some Donald Cerrone shit. How did those two never fight on accident? Like, they could have just been, like, accidentally walking into the cage at the wrong time on the wrong show.
Yes. Very, very true. So anyway, RDA looked good. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, you would hope he would get a top-ranked guy next, coming off two impressive wins at welterweight. But the question is, who could he fight next?
Let's see. Not Cerrone, not Lawler, not Masvidal, not the dude fighting Masvidal.
Thompson's tied up, right?
Yeah, Thompson's with Masvidal.
Masvidal, yeah.
Not Woodley, obviously not. Maybe Maya. Carlos Condit.
Yeah, Condit hasn't fought. I think Condit's done. He might never come back. But Colby Covington. Covington was trying to get that fight and was building it. There's a little something there.
That works.
And Covington's looked good. And it'd be a bigger guy, a wrestler, and see if Dos Anjos can stop that.
Get closer and closer to the UFC having its first champion with the most blatantly gay porn name of all time. Colby Covington. It's either gay porn or lacrosse rapist.
I guess gay porn would be the better option if you had to be one of them.
Yeah, I'd rather be a gay porn star than a rapist. I'd rather be a gay porn star than a lacrosse player.
Wow. You really don't like lacrosse.
I always just thought it was like a dick thing. I know you guys in the Northeast have it, but we don't have it really.
I wasn't into it. I'm not into sports with helmets. We also had Henry Cejudo defeating Wilson Hayes by TKO. Cejudo looked good. On the feet striking, he was just smoking Hayes. Didn't seem like he really wanted to go to the ground with him, but he landed a good punch and then followed it up and landed a few more shots, and the ref stepped in.
Yeah, it was no accident either. This wasn't just, he clipped him. Like, Cejudo, his striking looked different than it's ever looked before. He's lighter on his feet. Maybe he's lighter overall. I didn't hear about any weight problems with him. Looked like a champion there. Still going to get his ass kicked by Mighty Mouse if they fight again, but better than nothing. Whatever happened to John Dodson? I know he's at 35. Did he die or something?
He's still alive. He moved up to 35. John Dodson. Let's see what old Johnny Boy is doing. He is now ranked 8 in the bantamweight division. And remember he beat Lineker in that fight that everybody said was good, but we thought it sucked. He lost to Lineker, but he's coming off a win against Eddie Wineland back in April.
I have zero recollection of that.
Yeah, it was a unanimous decision. It was boring. I do remember it. It wasn't good. Anyway, so yeah, Cejudo looked good. I don't know what, that's another guy, I don't know what you do with him. He gets smoked by Mighty Mouse. He had that fight with Benavidez that I think he lost that by decision, a close decision. I don't know.
All these dudes, they're all the same. There's just so many of these guys that are just fucked.
But I feel like Cejudo isn't the same. I feel like he's better than everybody else except DJ. You know
what
I mean?
He should move up to 35. You know, he has trouble with the weight anyways.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Actually, at least there's some fights at 35 that might be kind of interesting, like him and Cruz or something.
And I think he could still have a little room to physically grow, and he doesn't seem to, like, you know, he's a bigger dude, so I've decided that that's what he's going to do.
Great. Ilir Latifi defeated Tyson Pedro. Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah, that was wrestling.
Jeremy Stevens kicked Gilbert Melendez's leg a lot on his way to a unanimous decision win.
Yeah, that was awful. Not awful, like in that sense, just kind of, I kind of feel bad for almost everyone because he deserved to have a better fight. And, you know, Gil got kicked early and the leg went bad on him. And then Stevens just said, oh, fuck you, this is how this is going to work, and just murdered it.
Yeah, his leg looked pretty nasty the next day. There was a picture of it going around online. I feel like there's a trend here, though. A lot of these guys, like, in their early, mid-30s, some of them are moving up in weight. You know, we were just talking about them, Masvidal, Cerrone, even somebody like Dustin Poirier moving up 10 pounds. Guys are moving up. But there's still this mindset with some of them where it's like, maybe if I move down, I can have this career resurgence like your Diego Sanchez trying to go down to featherweight. And I feel like it usually has the opposite effect. Usually it doesn't go that well.
Yeah.
If you're going down. It seems like you're better off moving up, and it's kind of paradoxical and not the way it has been the last throughout the history of MMA, but I kind of feel like a shift in that regard.
Well, I think a lot of guys have seen historically, like, guys will drop a weight class, and they go, oh, look at the success they had, but the guys were outliers, like BJ Penn, and it was really just, oh, he actually got in shape for once, and Randy Couture, where he was always that weight class. You know,
right.
Yeah, for most guys, yeah, they seem to, you know, Robbie Lawler's career was probably saved by moving up to 185 and not cutting weight for all those years. Guys are—they're always going to do it. I think the younger you are, the more likely you are to do it. Also, just because you're stupid. Young people are stupid, and they're like, "I can take it. My body can do this shit." Old men are like, "I don't want to work that hard."
So, old Giblet there has lost 5 of his last 6.
These things happen.
Yeah. You think he fights again at 145? What's he going to... Is he done? What's he do?
I have no idea. I don't really care.
Okay. You seem like you would be a Gilbert fan. Back in Strikeforce, all those Thompson fights.
I mean, they were really great. It's like if he goes to 55 or 45, I don't really care. He'll probably go to 45 again. Cause look, as long as the weight cut isn't tough, then I don't know. What else is he going to do? Fail at 55?
In the prelims, we had Ketlin Vieira defeating Sarah McMahon with an arm triangle, which was really surprising because McMahon like dominated the first round. There were points I felt like it could have been stopped. This actually part of the show recorded for me, so I got to see this fight. And McMahon had like full mount and was raining down punches, and I wouldn't have been surprised if the ref had stepped in. The ref didn't, and went into the second round. Vieira got a trip and a takedown, and got an arm triangle while she was still in, I want to say, half guard, which is pretty unusual,
yeah.
Right? Usually don't you have to swing out to the side?
It was the full side arm triangle, far side, I should say, similar to the one that Sage Northcutt tapped out to, and everyone made fun of him for it.
Nobody's really making fun of Sarah McMahon.
Nah, because nobody saw this.
True.
That's all it is.
True. So Sarah McMahon should be mocked as much as Sage?
Everybody involved in this fight should be mocked because it defies belief.
Okay.
Like, what's her face? Vieira. She was so bad at jiu-jitsu that she got mounted and had, like, no defense. She had no ability to get out of it. She was just stuck. And conversely, Sarah McMahon was good enough to get mount on a Brazilian who he presumed does jiu-jitsu, because she's from Brazil, and hold the mount and pound her. And then in the second round, somehow Vieira gets the submission. Like, that shouldn't happen. If you're that shitty at jiu-jitsu, you can't escape mount. You shouldn't suddenly magically, like, pull out an arm triangle on a wrestler. Like, this is just stupid. Everybody looks like a jackass in this.
Well,
I mean, Vieira did okay, but...
Right. I find it weird that... Like, what do you think of this? Like, how do you win your last two fights by arm triangle, which McMahon did? Should be Alexis Davis and Gina Mazzani, whoever that is, with an arm triangle. Would that make you better at defending it, in theory?
It should, because, as a wrestler, the arm triangle is going to be maybe their best submission, next to, like, a key lock or Kimura. But, yeah, usually the better you are at something... offensively, you should be better at it defensively. I mean, there is some idea that some people get really specialized at certain things, like leg locks, so all they do is offense on it, and then when they fight somebody else that's good at it, they get kind of screwed up. But this isn't that. Like, getting good at an arm triangle, it's a kind of a feel technique, and so the better you are at it, the more you know where the holes are, and defensively, you can, you know, defend. He said
Morass defeated Ashley Evans-Smith by armbar. Rick Glenn defeated Gavin Tucker by unanimous decision. Scorecards were 30-25, 30-24, 29-27. I did not see this fight. It cut out, but I heard Tucker got his ass handed to him, and it should have been stopped multiple times.
I heard the same thing from Joe Rogan, and that's as much as I know.
All right. Well, it was interesting because
personally, Joe texted it to me.
We were talking about this Edmonton commission beforehand and how they're a little suspect would be a nice way of putting it.
Oh, that's it. They gave Ray Bourque food poisoning.
It may have. But the ref for this fight was pulled afterwards and wasn't allowed to ref another fight. And it was like the head ref of Edmonton or whatever. And then they went more with like the traditional UFC refs that you see at every show. It's like, holy shit.
You
and
asshole.
Then the score. But how do you have scorecards 130-24 and 129-27?
I guess that's insane.
Well, that would mean that would have meant Glenn.
Oh yeah, that is impossible. That's insane. Yeah.
Glenn lost one round.
I mean, 30-24. No one should ever have a dispute where one person says 10-8 in a round and the other person says 10-9. No. This is stupid.
I don't know how that score happens. You would have had to score one round.
One of the judges would have had to see, they would have had to see the same round. One guy says 10-8 and the other one says 9-10. That's impossible. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, that's really, really stupid.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention.
Thank you.
Alex White defeated Mitch Clark, and there was some stuff on Fight Pass.
Yeah, one of the dudes on Fight Pass retired after he won.
Huh. Arhan Buhler?
No.
It had to be.
Maybe it's Mitch Clark that retired.
Okay, after he lost.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Somebody retired.
All right. That's good. Someone's not going to get concussions anymore.
No, they are. They're just not going to get paid for it.
Maybe. John Jones is back in the news today.
Loser.
His B sample. Okay, let's back up. So the first story was last night it broke that his B sample came back positive for turinabol. So, essentially, we know he popped a while ago, and then they do a second test of his urine to see that the first test was accurate. So, they do that, and it's still test positive for turinabol. That was pretty much the expected outcome. I don't know of a time where they've tested the B sample, and it's come back negative.
You probably wouldn't hear about it if it did.
Well, you would hear that the person tested positive. They release it. You saw the releases that now before they even test the second one.
That's true. That is really fucking stupid.
Yeah. A lot of moments of clarity here tonight. And then it
oh,
was
I just saw that breaking news there. Huh. I think you're going to get to it here, yeah.
I'm building. So then the California State Athletic Commission overturned his win over Daniel Cormier and ruled it a no contest. Previously, the UFC had said they will strip John Jones of the light heavyweight. They weren't going to strip him until the adjudication process was over with USADA. But they changed their mind and stripped Jones of the title and gave it back to Daniel Cormier. So we have a new light heavyweight champion of the world, and his name is Daniel DC Cormier.
It's so awesome. Daniel Cormier is the best light heavyweight champion in forever. It's like, it's so pro wrestling. He's just this sad sack who's not the real champion. He's just not, and yet here it is like, hey Dan, we know you lost, but here's your belt back, buddy. Go for it. You can call yourself champion. No, really. We'll say you're the best. Wink, wink. Poor bastard.
It's weird because I feel like Jones clean is still better than DC. Like, maybe we've never even seen Jones fight clean. We don't know. But at the same time, it's like DC is doing, we think, what he's supposed to do, and Jones isn't. I mean, it's a weird one because DC's going to take crap for it, and people, for whatever reason, are going to side with Jones, even though he's the cheater and the cokehead and the hit and run driver and everything else, because
being cool is more important than being right.
But, and also, it feels like DC's handed this belt after he got the shit kicked out of him in the fight, and it's kind of always felt that way. But in reality, DC's fucking unbelievably good at cage fighting. Like, it's just, like, so unfair for him, and I feel bad for him. And, like you just picture him at a presser crying, and you just feel bad for the guy because he's really – if Jon Jones never existed, he's the best fighter of all time.
Yeah, like, he dominated in heavyweight.
He dominated at light heavyweight. He's beaten Gustafson. He's beaten Rumble Johnson. He's beaten every single guy except this guy who is constantly cheating and trying to buck the system and is a total douchebag in reality. But, like, the narrative isn't there, and people don't see it that way, and it sucks for Cormier.
No, it does. Like, I feel for the guy. It's amusing to me because in this world we live in, this is about as nice as it gets when something goes wrong for you. But the last thing we saw of the champion of the world was him crying in sad desperation at the existential crisis he was facing as to his entire life was a failure on that night. He had one chance to prove himself forever an actual number one champion, gold medalist type, and he failed again. And now he gets to have it. He can say it. He can know it, but he'll never feel it. He'll just never have that first rush when he could look in front of everybody all sweaty and be like, I'm the fucking man. And instead, it's like, here's your sheet of paper that says you did real well. It's like, it's kind of like getting your diploma in the mail because you're not allowed to go to the graduation ceremony because you did something to the teacher.
I mean, Cormier, to a degree, has a point here. He said, Jones disqualified himself for taking a steroid before the fight, so it didn't happen.
Of course.
So now I get the belt back, which is the right thing to do, and I'm not only saying that because it's me. It's the right thing to do. You don't cheat the sport. You don't cheat the fans. You don't cheat me. You have all the physical advantages. You're 30 years old. You're 6'4". You've got an 85-inch reach. I'm 38 years old. I would love to take stuff and not have to wake up every morning and walk down my stairs sideways.
Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right.
He is right, but he still sounds like...
He's just not cool.
Like whiny, like bitch-like.
Cool. He's just a dorky teacher's pet type. He's just got that feel about him. And it's probably not true. He's probably like a badass, but like, I don't really believe it. Even saying that, I'm like, I don't really believe it, because, well, he's not. He's a dork. He's just like, he's one of those guys that's always been on the team. He's been obviously really great, and they like him as like a competitor. But then he's like, come on, guys, hey, you guys want to go out? And they're all like, yeah, all right. And like, he's there, and they're all kind of like, oh, really, damn, don't say that. And then he'll overcompensate and try. He's like a Jason Biggs type, is what he is.
That's the weirdest comparison ever. So the question now is what happens with Jones, I guess. He could be suspended 2 years. He could be out 4 years. Any guesses on what's going to happen with old Johnny Bones there? He's obviously going to try the tainted supplement excuse, I would presume.
2 years.
2 years. So yep. 2 years from, what was that, July? August?
You're already seeing this shit kind of come out like, oh, you know, the thing about this, as I don't know who it was, it may have been Ioli. And I think he's quoting someone, but you can see that. I think it's the Fed story as far as, well, the good news was it wasn't the actual thing. It was the metabolites.
Right.
As if that doesn't make a difference. There's no reason they test for the metabolites because it's some 6-hour half-life. They're not stupid, but already that's where it's going to start. And somebody's going to look at it and they're going to be able to spin it and be like, look, the first one was a dick pill and he didn't know it. And the commission even said he didn't know it. So you know it's real. And this one is kind of like, look, he didn't have the thing in his system. He had just a tiny, tiny little amount. And we've seen before how that stuff just gets in protein powder all the time. Yeah, I mean, obviously. So he's a total victim. He'll be back in 2 years, and he'll fight again, and he'll win again, and he'll test positive again. Guaranteed. Stupid like this does not learn.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I wonder, what does John Jones do with 4 years off? Like, does he even get, like, say he got the 4 years. Like, is he going to fuck up so bad and end up in jail? Like, is he going to be able to stay out of trouble for 4 years without having fight camps and work to keep him busy?
That's a weird thing. He's such an odd character in that sense, because he is, like, 30. I guess he's fucking 30. He's got all this money, a kind of, like, this public history of being a big screw-up. But he also, like, does live in New Mexico, so his options are still going to be limited, although he's shown a propensity for overcoming these obstacles. But he's also a dude, he does have a fiance and 4 kids with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he may screw around on her and be a bad dad and all that stuff, but he still has to, like, acknowledge her existence, because we're not broken up or anything. So he's got to put in some time at Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. So, like, he can't be a total washout, and obviously he's still in shape. So I don't know what he's doing. It's just, he might just be a victim of, I don't want to say bad luck, but bad timing, as far as I have a feeling that John Jones is living the exact same lifestyle that every other light heavyweight champion in history pretty much lived up until him. Just we're in a new era as far as testing and everything. Like, there's no way that his lifestyle is any different than Chuck Liddell's. Just none. And, you know, Chuck is fine. Kind of.
Another UFC star is in a bit of legal trouble as well. Conor McGregor is being sued by a man who claims he suffered injuries during a UFC news conference last year in Vegas. According to a report by The Blast, a security guard named William Pegg claims he was struck by a Monster Energy can that McGregor threw during a UFC 202 presser in August of 2016. Per the report, Pegg is seeking damages of at least $95,000. This is obviously the infamous water bottle throwing incident with Nate Diaz. Before their, is it their first fight, their second fight?
Second fight. Yeah.
So
they didn't have a presser for the first one.
Well, they did. They had that weird one.
Yeah, that little thing, but yeah.
Yeah, that was also, that's where he called him a cholo.
What a racist.
Son of a bitch. ESPN confirmed through court records that Pegg filed a lawsuit against McGregor and McGregor Sports Entertainment in Nevada District Court in March. The court denied McGregor's motion to dismiss the case in May. Any thoughts? You're the high-powered attorney here.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. I don't know the ins and outs exactly of procedure in Nevada. The 95,000 number is kind of odd, because it's kind of like a realistic number. Not that you would ever really get that in the real world. But with Conor's wealth and everything, I could easily see just a jury and everybody and him just saying, yeah, I'll just pay it or whatever. You know, if he'd asked for like $2 million or something, but it's almost like enough money that I don't know why it even got this far. I'm sure they sent a letter to Conor's people being like, give us the money or we're going to sue you. And they said, nah, fuck off, mate. And now they got a letter from a lawyer.
Well, according to the Blast report, which is whatever this website is, who got the information on the lawsuit, Pegg claims he suffered $5,000 in medical bills. He has based the rest of his damages around McGregor's estimated $15 million payday for the Diaz rematch, which McGregor won via majority decision. I don't know what $90,000 divided by $15 million is, or however that works, but that's his claim. He deserves a percentage of McGregor's payday for the Diaz rematch.
You know, this is a really good idea, actually. It's like, it's so good I almost don't want to say it, because I want to email this dude's lawyer and be like, hey, I got a way for you to get a lot of money. You gotta let me in on this. What you would do, oh, this is genius. I just want to soak this in for a second and remind everybody the moment in time when I was on one side of the line and you people were on the other side. But they should argue to a jury or a judge that the throwing of the cup added value, actual value to the pay-per-view. More people bought that pay-per-view because of that, I guarantee you. And that this man is the direct victim of that earned revenue and should therefore get all of it. That's what I would argue.
Go big or go home.
Not even go big. You know, I think that's genius because we are all entitled to what we have contributed. And what he contributed was that.
Nobody even knew he got hit.
He knew, and Connor knew. And he was placed in danger. And Connor made... Here's the thing. Connor made money off of him. He really did. Because that absolutely added value. Connor has made money off of this guy. This guy should be compensated.
If the Monster Energy Cannon had hit a pole instead of this William Pegg, the show still would have drawn the same amount of money.
It didn't hit a pole. It hit him.
Allegedly.
It'll allegedly hit him. You know what? Hitting a person does make it better. Because they didn't know. If it had just hit the floor, they would say, oh, he threw it and the can hit the floor. But he flung it into the crowd. It had to be the crowd. And he was the crowd.
If there's no video evidence, how do you prove you actually get hit by the can?
I just use eyewitness.
Okay.
I mean, think of it.
Like, who would you have Jake Shields come and testify?
Believe it or not, people, we did have trials before video cameras existed.
I know.
Like, they've been using, you know, witnesses forever. You know, there's 100 people there or whatever. Somebody will have seen something. Somebody will say, I saw it was him. And when you can corroborate that with whatever injuries he's had that a doctor would say, if you're Connor's people, you're not going to waste time trying to argue, not waste too much time trying to argue it wasn't him.
Mm.
Although that's really all you could probably do. So they're fucked in my world.
Yep. Just give them the money. Spend one less day on the yacht. No big deal.
Yeah, it's also going to be a real bad look when, you know, this guy wants 90 grand, which again, is probably more than he really probably should get. Not my amazing argument notwithstanding. And then there's Connor out there like, I'm going to buy an $11 million yacht.
Like, have you seen those pictures of him running around on the yacht?
No, I just heard about
it. Oh, my God. He had one Instagram post that was hilarious. It was like a wide shot. It was just him on the yacht. It's got to be, you know, 90, 100-foot yacht. And he's running, like, on the – I can't even think of the name of it. He was running along the yacht, and he wrote something like, has anybody seen my socks? It was just like, it was pretty funny. And if you saw the picture of him like running along the shot with nobody else in sight, it made me laugh.
I'm going to look at this now on his Instagram. The old Instagram. I don't know how Instagram works.
It's like everything else, except it's just pictures. You can handle that.
I get, fuck me. I went to sit to search for his name and I typed in Instagram.
In Instagram, you type
yeah,
in Instagram?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, this is that's an impressive boat. Jeez. His life is way better than mine. On every fucking level and in every way. He is superior.
You think he has a better air mattress than you? Come on.
I bet he doesn't own one, so I have that. I have one up on him. And I have a dog. Oh, where's me fucking socks?
Yeah, right?
Look at this son of a bitch. I'm envious of him. I won't do anything.
Is that what he wrote? Where's my fucking socks?
Yeah. I'm not going to do anything.
It made me laugh. He still makes me laugh, even now, after all the bullshit and overexposure and being an idiot.
He's earned his fucking money.
There's still something charming about that young lad.
It's a six-pack. This Aryan Brotherhood haircut.
I thought we could keep going along the lawsuit angle, because That's just my mood right now. Did you see this headline? Permanently brain damaged boxer receives $22 million settlement from state of New York.
I did, and my first thought was when we talked about if Connor got hurt because of the small gloves. Well, there you go.
Yeah, and he probably did get hurt. Anyway, Magomed Abdusalamov and his family will be paid $22 million by the state of New York 4 years after the boxer suffered life-threatening injuries in a fight aired on HBO. And I feel like we talked about this in the past. Like, they didn't – the commission, the New York State Athletic Commission, it might have been when they were first running that first UFC show last November where we got into this a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But essentially I got to scan this real quick. He's paralyzed on the right side of his body and is unable to walk. His speech is mostly limited to mumbling. Some of us already have that issue. He was paid $40,000 for the fight and received the full $10,000 payout from a mandatory minimum insurance policy. A year and a half later, the incapacitated boxer and his family were more than $2 million in debt. So he got paid, but essentially they sued for gross negligence and medical malpractice from the NYFAC and their staff and doctors to retain to work that night. There was improper care, crucially delayed diagnosis and treatment of developing blood clot in his brain. He underwent emergency surgery, suffered multiple strokes, was in a coma for weeks, and was hospitalized for more than 10 months, including inpatient rehab.
You know what this means? You know what's really awesome about this? New York, you said, right?
Yeah.
All the legislation, all the arguments from the UFC saying it'll bring in all this money to the state of New York and blah, 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 they're probably in the red right now because of this fucking lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to be.
I mean, there's no way they've collected $22 million in fucking revenue in the past year. Dumbasses.
Yeah, I doubt that Derek Lewis fight in Binghamton or wherever it was really brought him in. But, yeah, this one was really screwed up the more I read about it, and it's coming back to me now. Maybe I should have done this before I went on our podcast.
We don't do that kind of professionalism shit here, boy.
So, essentially, there were no ambulances present at this boxing card, at MSG, no less, and he traveled by taxi to the hospital. Like, he took a cab to the hospital and had, like, multiple seizures and strokes, and he's still half paralyzed. And they didn't even have a fucking ambulance at the show to take him to the doctor.
Apparently, like, they weren't required to have one.
I don't know.
Because that's the only way they could be able to sue the athletic commission. Because otherwise they wouldn't be derelict in any of their duty. So they'd have
I got it. Although there were ambulances at MSG available to transport Abdusalamov to the hospital at that time, the inspector general found that the athletic commission lacked a formal tactical emergency plan. Consequently, the athletic commission staff, the boxers, and their teams were unaware of what steps to take in the event of an emergency after a post-bout examination and in the absence of a physician. As a result, Abdusalamov's team lacked any knowledge of the availability of ambulances outside the arena. Instead, he traveled by cab to Roosevelt Hospital.
See, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Fucking dumbasses. Although, did anybody bring up the angle that giving $22 million to an Ahmed in this day and age is maybe not the best use of taxpayer money? I know Canada gave that kid, that terrorist in Gitmo, $12 million, but it seems a little excessive. I think we'll do something about this.
Well, I don't think he's much of a threat since he's half paralyzed.
That just means there's more space in there in his body to put a bomb. Got a big old wheelchair and shit. A lot of dead weight.
He's Dagestani. They're not that bad. What do you think of that settlement? Is that one of those you find outrageous, or this guy's life is ruined, his family's in debt? I always have a hard time trying to figure out what's a lot of money in situations like that, because you hear outrageous ones like Hogan's $100 million settlement and stuff like that for the sex tape. This guy's life is fucked forever. And it may have been, even if they had the proper people there, all that stuff still might have happened. But it does sound like they were negligence there.
They would have established before the jury that there was a more likely than not chance that if there had been the proper procedures in place, that this would not have happened.
Okay.
And so that's why they got the money. Failure to have them, failure to implement them, blah, blah, blah. That's the only way to show your actual harm. I do think that the award is probably fair, and what tipped me off is when you're reading the story and noted his family was $2 million in debt, which is like a ton of money, but it's also really difficult to be $2 million in debt unless you had a lot of money to start with. You know, really poor people can't be $2 million in debt. Nobody's giving fucking crackheads a $2 million line of credit. But a guy with like him who probably has a lot of real potential earning power in his career, yeah, maybe $22 million is what he might have lost out on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. And I think this relates back to that $1 million insurance policy that New York has required promoters to take out now for traumatic brain injury. That's why you don't see a lot of like mid-level companies running smaller shows in New York, because they have to have this $1 million insurance policy out on every fighter on every card.
Yeah, and I guess it is what it is. If they just, you know, if you're in New York, I don't totally mind that, because that's a way of acknowledging kind of using your regulation. Like, if you're going to regulate the sport, that's kind of a way of ensuring that you're only going to have the bigger name promoters show up, and that's going to be not just better fights, but safer fights, better procedures, you know, more professional. You know, you lower those restrictions, and some guy like me who does a lot of drugs and just be like, hey, I got my backyard, some mats, let's go, boys. I said that so many times, even before I got into MMA.
Boy. What else is going on?
I'm running out of oil.
We haven't done a USADA story in a bit. Ultimate Fighter 25. Well, I guess John Jones counts.
We've done that
every past month. But like just a random oddball one. Ultimate Fighter 25 comeback winner Jesse Taylor has been flagged by USADA. We have no word on what substance Taylor has failed for, but his fight with Bilal Muhammad in Sydney in November has been scrapped. So Taylor had that big comeback. He was out of the UFC for 8 years or whatever. He fucked up when he was younger, and they got rid of him. Comes back. He wins Ultimate Fighter comeback season. It's like, good for Jesse Taylor. He finally got his shit together. Nope.
Yeah, you think he does have his shit together. Like, he got popped for a steroid, probably. Some sort of danger drug. Because, they wouldn't be doing anything for drugs of abuse. So it has to be a PED. But whatever. I don't think he's, you know, to me, he's an idiot if it was like, well, he got all this way and then he took a chance. No, he didn't take a chance. He wouldn't have gotten this far without that shit. I'm sure he's been using it before now. It's not like he just, like, all of a sudden woke up and went like, well, I've got everything I've ever wanted and I didn't need to cheat. Time for the drugs. Like, it doesn't work that way. So he's been cheating all along. He just got caught this time and, you know, and that's part of the game. Like, to me, he was a script before because of the apparent alcoholism and stuff like that. Guys using steroids to get popped with that stuff. You know, you're a professional screw-up, but you're not a personal screw-up with that. Solid.
Right. I know. It's just one of those it's like a bummer. Like, it was sort of a feel-good story, and there aren't a lot of those in MMA most of the time. Usually it's like your John Jones or your fight cancellations or whatever. And that was like a good – it was a comeback. He had come back and it's all for naught. What else? A guy who
you're
should
telling
be
– me that Daniel Cormier getting to be recognized as the best in the world in the manner that he did is not a feel-good story?
Doesn't do much for me.
You heartless bastard.
Yeah. A guy who I think should be allowed to take steroids is Nick Newell. He's actually coming out of retirement in 2018 with Legacy Fighting Alliance. If you remember Newell, he gained some fame on smaller shows and in WSOF, actually, for fighting...
WSOF, people, most of you probably know that it's the Professional Fight League, the PFL right now. I didn't want you to get confused.
He was born as like a congenital amputee, which basically means his forearm down was missing when he was born. So he has no left forearm or left hand. And I think he started his career as 13-0 on regional circuits and would win a lot of fights with rear naked choke. I don't know what it was about, like the weird
no glove.
Well, yeah, and it was like a weird hook, like he could hook on to that piece of his arm. Like, I don't know how to describe it and not sound like a dick. But
he uses nubby little claw.
essentially. And his last fight was against, of all people, Justin Gaethje, and he got wrecked. And that's his only loss is to Justin Gaethje, who's proven to be, like, one of the best lightweights on the planet and went away from a title shot.
Look at that shit. You could have – Justin Gaethje could realistically beat Conor McGregor in the next 12 months. He could be the best fighter on the planet, undefeated god. And somebody said, let's have him fight a guy with one arm. Holy shit. It's like an MTV skit. Like, you expect it like when Arlovsky's beating up the nerds, but – at least the nerds have two arms.
Do you remember that fight at all?
Yeah, I do. It was bad.
Gaethje just kept landing right hands.
Yeah.
And Newell couldn't block him. And Newell was good. Newell's a good fight. Like, if he had a fucking arm, he'd be like an elite guy probably, unless there's something with the arm that gives him some weird advantage. I don't know. It's a weird situation.
Every day. If he had an arm, he would have been an elite fighter.
Even as it is, though, it was like he lasted a couple rounds, and he got fucked up and lost. But at the same time, he beat, you know, mid-level, you know, WSOF, Bellator-type guys. He wasn't terrible by any stretch, and what he did was truly impressive considering his lack of an arm.
Yeah, no, and he was a real good wrestler in college, and, like, you know, he earned his spot, freak show notwithstanding, and, you know, I don't ever really think anybody should fight, and so whenever somebody says, I'm done, I'm always like, oh, you got out, you're alive, go sell car insurance, but... Yeah, if he wants to come back, I can see it. Especially, you know, when you look at Gaethje, you go, fuck, man, and time goes by, and maybe some of those speaking engagements you've been getting on the college campuses, maybe they're drying up, because your disability isn't in vogue right now. You don't check off enough. If you were a trans amputee fighter, maybe you'd get a few more gigs, but you're just a little too cisgendered for us, buddy. So he goes back to the cage.
I'm surprised Bellator, he didn't sign with Bellator. That seems like the place he should have gone. He went with Legacy.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't want to, like, commit to something like Bellator. Maybe he just wants to get his toes wet or something.
Yeah, I guess. But you'd think they'd pay him more.
Or maybe because he only has one arm, he's a kind of a slow learner. He can't flip the pages of the book, and so he's stupid. There's also that.
It could be. UFC 217 at MSG in November has a couple of new fights. Official now is Joanna in Jacek versus Rose Namajunas for the women's strawweight title.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we have Mickey Gall versus Randy Brown.
Yeah, that's cool.
How about Donald Cerrone versus Darren Till at UFC Fight Night Gdansk on October 21st?
Didn't we talk about this last week?
No, it wasn't announced yet. I commented to you, Messenger, that I didn't know what Gdansk was.
Oh, okay. I'm like, hey, we've talked about this. Yeah, Gdansk. I think that's got to be like a suburb, some shit of Warsaw or whatever.
Krakow? Let's look.
Krakow is the name of Warsaw in the 1500s, everybody. Which I only know because of Calvin and Hobbes.
You know a lot of useful information.
I do. I'm full of shit that nobody needs to know.
Sounds gross. Gdansk. Going to old Wikipedia here. Yeah, but Darren Till kind of came out of nowhere. He's not like a ranked guy or anything.
I don't even know the name. I couldn't pick a Darren Till out of the lineup. I'm going to guess he's white with a shaved head and some tattoos.
It's Poland's principal seaport and fourth largest metropolitan area.
Oh, it's the principal seaport. Now it makes more sense. I thought it was a secondary seaport. Oh, okay, there we go.
The University of Gdansk is there.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad it's not somewhere else. That'd be really fucking weird. Like Miami, Ohio. You assholes.
I'm trying to see if there's any other fun facts about Gdansk.
I like how Darren Till, like I went to his Wikipedia here expecting to see something like, oh, okay, maybe I just haven't been paying attention or whatever. And I'm looking at him going, no, I have had absolutely no reason to remember this son of a bitch at all. Like, he's just been fighting on the Euro circuit, no difference. Nobody's life should in any stage ever know who the hell this guy is.
Donald Cerrone will know. So there's a list on Wikipedia of the main sites to see in Gdansk. Number one is the Upland Gate.
Of course.
Number two is Torture House. And number three is Prison Tower.
Ooh, I have all of those in my sex dungeon. What the fuck? What the fuck? Torture House? Prison Tower? Like, did you, like, is he some sort of weird ass, some asshole, like, went over to England, like, guys, they got this, they call it the tower, what we call ours, the torture tower. Well, you go in the torture tower, and if you make your way to the top, you are now WCW champion or some shit.
It sounds a bit like Salem, Mass, with all the witches.
Yeah, but, like, that was shit in the 1600s, and it doesn't really exist. Like, this is a giant major city with torture tower. Fuck, there's no torture tower in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Would have been better off if they had some towers, I think.
No, they'd probably be more fucked if they had some towers.
Well, they'd be all up top in them and dry.
Or they would have been blown over by the hurricane.
No, it's more rain than wind. Towers are like more aerodynamic.
Towers are incredibly un-aerodynamic.
They're round, but they don't have flat surfaces.
Towers? Gigantic buildings that stick up in the air?
Like Rapunzel's.
Yeah.
Tower.
That slices the air.
Doesn't have a flat facade.
It's still a big fucking thing. The air's got to go around. It's not like it's going to fly. It's a big middle finger from the earth.
Huh. Gdansk has something to do with Danzig, but I don't know what.
Like the rock star Danzig?
Yeah. It says, see, disambiguation for Danzig.
Is his last name good? Oh, I see it too.
I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't making it up.
Okay. There is first one. Is a German name and former official appellation of Gdansk. So Danzig is the German word for Gdansk.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a Danzig, North Dakota. I wonder where that is.
You know what we're fucked up?
That we're going through this right now on air?
The Salem witch trials. Those people got hosed. I don't really think they were witches.
That's what they want you to think. I mean, somebody must have. There must be some pretty strong. I mean, they wouldn't have just done it for the hell of it. There must be some pretty strong evidence there that they were witches.
But how far have
talking
has
back,
like
talking back to a man? That's which behavior?
Well, men were like hung too for it for being involved. But can you imagine, like, that was only like whatever 350 years ago. There was a time you could go to court and be killed and hung in public. And like one person I know was like crushed. They put like weights on him until his like rib cage collapsed. In the United States, in Massachusetts, 350 years ago, you could be killed because people thought you were a witch. Like, that's crazy.
It is. It's fucking insane. And you know,
it wasn't that long ago.
You know, but you know what's really fucking crazy? That happens for real right now all throughout the Middle East.
I know.
Like,
I know.
For
but...
real. It's like, why are they still doing this? We look back and we go, oh, the horror. We were evil, evil people. Like, I'm always dumbfounded by the fact that the very same people, like, it's really easy to look at the Founding Fathers or any of those great people back then and be like, oh, you know, they did this and that. So they really were great, but they were horrible monsters, too. I mean, Thomas Jefferson was a brilliant mind, maybe the greatest mind in American history. By today's standards, would have probably been a very progressive agnostic type, and yet he raped slaves. Like, what?
It was a different time.
Here's the thing, though. They have all these ideas in place, these brilliant ideas about the concept of rights as they owned people. And they were confronted with it. They were debating it. And it was just real weird, like this crazy disconnect between, like, that's a man. Oh, but, you know, shouldn't talk to my fucking wife and look me in the eye without getting a backhand across the head. Like, it's just very odd. And it's, like, it's really great. Like, we've evolved so much in that regard in the past. You know, again, 150 years ago, slavery was legal. You could just buy people. Like, what? You could just buy a human being? I think 50 years ago, you couldn't drink out of the same water fountain, which, honestly, I wish they would bring back because the lips are big. But seriously, everything is horrible. It's just weird. And now, like, our big, great thing is can about, I don't know, 2,000 trannies fight in the military? Like, we've really narrowed down our offensive behavior pretty quickly here.
No, that's progress. That's good.
All I can really say to that is thanks, Obama.
So, listen to this. The witch trials, 1692 and 1693, they resulted in the executions of 20 people, 14 of them women, and all but one by hanging. Five others, including two infant children, died in prison. They put babies in jail for being witches.
I really want to, like, make a joke, like, you know, some of those kids can look really evil, blah, 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 but no, they put babies in jail for being witches. Like, you can't look at a baby and go, it's a witch. Like, what the fuck? It's one of those things.
It was weird, too, because it was a trial with, like, I don't know how many judges. I don't remember. Like, 9 judges or something. And they, like, voted that, like, these people should be killed for being witches. It's like, it was crazy. They would, like, put them on the stand and ask them questions and interrogate
them. The baby would shit himself. Who's a witch? What's your name? Peas up in the air. Hang it. Put a stake through its heart. It's a fucking baby. Like, I understand that even, like, the crazy, like, oh, the people that kill the gays in the Middle East and all that, like, I do appreciate that they believe what they're doing is right on some level. But they could also, like, look at it and be like, oh, this is, like, I can understand their mindset of, oh, this is bad behavior or something like that, but there's never been a society ever that feared possessed babies. Like, nobody's ever been afraid of babies. It's a baby. What are you doing? Nobody's crazy shit has ever been so awful that, like, they're like, yeah, I'll just fucking drown a baby alive. Like, they'll do it for survival or for the necessity or whatever, but not because they thought the baby was was possessed? You know, like, how much you have to really believe in your shit that you will drown a baby? Like, that is truly biblical. God asking Abraham, sacrifice your kid, and Abraham's like, oh, better guess I gotta do that. Like, you gotta really be a true believer. And trust me, I've gone to a lot of church in my life. I have never, at any point in my life, ever got to the point where I thought, yeah, I could just drown a dog, let alone a baby. Like, if, like, the voice from the heavens started talking to me and said, Michael, you need to drown your dog. Even if I had, like, all this reason to believe it was God and I wasn't crazy, I would do everything I could to convince myself that I was crazy, because I don't want to drown my fucking dog. I don't care if God tells me to do it. I'm not going to believe that's real. So fuck you, baby killers. You know what that was, though? The original abortionists. Typical lefties up in Massachusetts.
That's really weird, because back then, Massachusetts was not real lefty. Is spectral evidence still applied in law nowadays?
Of course.
Are you familiar with that term?
Buddy, I grew up on Ghostbusters. You use the word spectral. I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to ghosts here. Let's go with it.
Much but not all of the evidence used against the accused was spectral evidence, or the testimony of the afflicted who claimed to see the apparition or the shape of the person who was allegedly afflicting them. The theological dispute that ensued about the use of this evidence.
Theological dispute on whether the evil ghost was in front of you. Okay, and also theological dispute on if the baby is possessed by the evil ghost in front of you that only you can see. Continue.
The theological dispute that ensued about the use of this evidence was based on whether a person had to give permission to the devil for his or her shape to be used to afflict.
Oh,
opponents claimed that the devil was able to use anyone's shape to afflict people, but the court contended that the devil could not use a person's shape without that person's permission. When the afflicted claimed to see the apparition of a specific person, that was accepted as evidence that the accused had been complicit with the devil.
No, they're wrong. I can argue it for real that they're wrong, too. Because Jesus performs...
They're arguing whether or not people are being possessed by the devil.
Right. Here's the thing.
And it's not, like, could it happen?
Right, yeah.
It's like, how does, like, it happen?
It's a religious philosophical exercise. I actually think that's kind of a cool idea. As a court of law, it's one of the craziest fucking things I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's insane. You might as well just argue, ladies and gentlemen, we're here today to prove that luck does exist. Like, what? No. You can't do something so stupid and esoteric. But otherwise, like, I know they're wrong, because Jesus performed an exorcism. And he didn't blame the guy being possessed. He removed the demon from the guy. He was like, hey, buddy, you're okay now. Sent him on his way. He didn't chastise the guy. You would be guilty, therefore, if the only way that a demon could be in you was by your permission. You would have been inviting evil in. But you're innocent because the demons can take over, and that's why you need to have them exercised, because you're not in control of it. And I just watched the Giants have a fucking fly ball drop down between two goddamn fucking grown men making millions of fucking dollars a year and fucking up like 7-year-olds, you asshats. This is why we've won 50 games this year, dicks.
In boxing news, we're going to change gears here for a minute, because there were a couple of interesting boxing stories. Chris Cyborg has applied for a boxing license, as has Jose Aldo, Nate Diaz, and Conor McGregor. It has been granted. She got it. She has a federal boxing ID as well. And, I mean, obviously she's been on the outs with UFC ever since they signed her, since before they signed her. Her current contract is supposed to expire in October, but I think she has, like, a non-compete for a year afterwards. There's been rumors of her fighting Holly Holm, but it looks like she's dipping her toe in the boxing world.
It is funny, given, you know, everyone else is doing it and coming off the heels of Connor. It's not totally crazy with her, though, at least, because, you know, she did have a kickboxing match a couple of years back, 2 or 3 years back, and if she really...
She lost,
but she still did it, and, like, I could easily see her, like, if the UFC can't keep her or whatever, like, she's shown a willingness to go and do that type of stuff, which is, you know, very odd. Like, Chris Cyborg's kind of failed her way to success, because she keeps making one dumb business decision after another, but they almost all have fallen in her favor. Like, she did lose out on she didn't really lose out on Ronda, because I don't think she could have made 135, but she had Tito as a manager, and she didn't sign with the UFC, she plays hardball, and all of a sudden, Dana's bending over backwards saying that we kind of fucked up with her. Like, when has Dana White ever apologized to someone? And he's apologizing to Chris Cyborg, who got her own division? Good for her, I guess. Well, I don't know. She's a man now. Like, we're at a point, God damn, we're at a fucking point in society where me saying, it's a joke one time, like, hey, that's a man. People are like, oh, that's rude. And now it's like, oh, you're using the right pronoun. Good for you.
The one thing this got me to thinking about, and it was odd, it's like, if you're a male UFC fighter and you can get a big boxing match, you're going to make way more money. But in the case of women, it's almost the opposite. You're better off being in UFC than you are in boxing, because I can't name one boxer Cyborg can fight. One woman's boxer, that's like a, talk about a dead business, I mean, with
like
crickets chirping around.
Holly Holm won a million titles, like real titles, yeah, in boxing, and she had no choice but to leave, and I don't know if, I don't know, is there some old legend whose daughter they want to trot out to box? Because that seems to be the only people anyone's ever heard of in female boxing.
I don't know. I don't know what she'd do, but I don't know if, like, money-wise, she makes a lot more money going there. It's like she'd be better off fighting home in UFC and sticking around as opposed to fighting a no-name in boxing. I would think where she might lose. She could lose if she fought, like, a top-level women's boxer that nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, no, but again, she's done this before. She did it with the kickboxing, and it didn't hurt her career at all. She fails her way to success. She's trumping it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, in boxing, she'll probably fight someone her size, too, a sport that she's not that familiar with. Like, to me, I don't know if you make more money and you risk more loss of damage and losing a fight and losing that monster aura that you've built up in MMA over the last, you know, 10 years.
No, but I would say it's a good idea to apply for it, because you know your contract's coming up, given what we just saw happen with Connor, where it's very fair to say that mixed martial artists can say, hey, I can go to boxing and I can make good, I can control my destiny, make some money, and we've seen that our skills do translate. It's good to have that just for leverage, just to tell the UFC, look, you know, I could probably go out there and Bellator will probably give me most of what I want, and if I don't get that, I can just go box, and you might actually make more than you would in the UFC. And the UFC's credibility is on the line, because heaven knows how many interim titles we'll have by that point. Like, they care. Fuck them.
If it's a negotiating ploy, sure. But I, knowing her, it's not. She'll probably box and get the shit kicked out of her. What else? Oh, did you see the video of Adrian Broner? I think it was definitely in Vegas. And, like, somebody's filming him on Snapchat. And he was signing autographs for fans and taking pictures or whatever. And then he shoves a woman who appeared to be with him, like a girlfriend or whatever. And then, like, a minute later, they're walking down the sidewalk, and he just punches a guy in the face. And we don't see what led to it or anything, but knocks the guy out cold. And he's, like, unconscious on the ground.
I think I saw something like that, yeah.
Yeah, really, like
it's drug behavior.
Obviously, could be, absolutely.
Like, that's cocaine talking. You know, yeah, it's like he's doing something, and she's like, calm down, calm down. Like, you don't tell me to calm down, push her. Then he's walking down the street, he's feeling fucking jacked. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He sees some guy, he's like, you're looking at me, buddy? Boom, just drops him like, I'm a motherfucking man. I fucking guarantee you, like, the sex they had that night was kind of consensual. He's out of control, man. He's a maniac.
He wrote on, of course, the best place to let people know how you're doing on Instagram, that life is too short for all these fuck-ups. I know I got problems, I just want help. If I wasn't here, I wonder, will they feel the same?
Nope.
So, not good times in the life of Adrian Broner.
Yeah,
who's,
I hope he looks at Mike Tyson and realizes, buddy, it ain't gonna get better. Like, if, when you're like that, I just fucked up, and hey, you're literally saying, I would like some help, and you know you're gonna fuck up again, you're doomed.
Who do you think is going to be doomed on Saturday night? Canelo Alvarez or Gennady Golovkin, a.k.a. Triple G?
I think Alvarez is going to win.
I kind of feel that way, too, but I don't know why.
Mine's just kind of like Golovkin's, he's older.
Older?
He's older than people realize, and my spidey sense goes off when I see a guy who everybody's like, everybody's ducking him. And he gets all these real quick knockouts. And I've just seen too many fighters over the years to know that, with the exception of basically Mike Tyson, that kind of fighter isn't real. It just never is the case that there's just some guy who just has super-duper unnatural power that no one's ever felt before and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it doesn't work at the highest level. There's a reason why these guys all, you know, can actually box. And I think Canelo is just a more experienced boxer, and again, he probably has more big name experience. He's got more big name fights, all the eyes on him. He's younger, by far. I don't know what the size thing is on the two of them, but given that I've seen, you know, very little of both of them compared to most people, I'm qualified to say that Alvarez is going to win.
Yeah, I think Golovkin's, like, naturally the bigger guy. He's taller and has fought, like, I think this is at 160, and I believe Canelo got down to 154
for the
Floyd fight, and that was supposedly a tough cut for him. But do you think this show will do more than 10 times the buys that UFC 215 did? So first you got to guess what 215 is going to do.
Will do more than 10 times what UFC 215 did?
Yes.
Ooh, you motherfucker.
It's a good one, right?
That's right on the line. Because I'm putting it at about 1.3 million, then it's got to beat. And 1.3 to 1.4. And I mean, that'd be a real – I mean, I feel like boxing does have a lot of momentum. And people are kind of into this big fight, and it is a big fight.
And it's also got that, and we talked about it last week, and I'm not trying to sound like a white nationalist, but it's got an ethnic thing to it where you get the Mexican side, the Eastern European side, and then just your casual boxing audience in the States where it can draw a little bit of all that. Under.
I'm going to go under just because getting to that super-duper million-plus level, that's a real big deal, and there's no evidence, you know, Canelo has never done it on his own, and so until proven otherwise, guys get a lot of hype, like Triple G, they kind of get into sports, people kind of like them, they get excited about them, but doesn't mean anybody in the world knows who they are, and at the end of the day, you know, hey, you want to watch the Gennady Golovkin? People are like, what the, dude, fuck off, plus football's back.
You know what, though? I think that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight did really well. I feel like that did over a million.
Oh, that might have. But that's cheating because that's two Mexicans like on a Mexican day.
Nearly 1 million buys.
See, even then, that's nearly, and that's super Mexican thing.
I lied. Yeah, it's all early estimates. I can't find the official one. This one says over a million. Either way, it was around a million for a joke fight that nobody took serious. Nobody thought Chavez Jr. had a chance at that fight.
And yet it was a giant deal because Mexicans like storylines and telenovelas. I really wish I spoke Spanish.
Jesus Christ, I don't feel like Alvarez is that old. He's had 51 fights already. He's 49-1-1.
Is he like 29, 30, something like that?
I don't know.
That's what I'd picture him as, somewhere in there.
Yeah, me too. I picture him as younger, but it's a lot of fights. I mean, granted, the first 30 were probably against scrubs that didn't matter to pad his record, but Even so, that's a lot of fights. Shit. Yeah. So anyway, that's the big boxing fight this weekend, and that was our great preview and analysis of it. There is a UFC card this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah.
On September 16th. Is that Saturday? Is that going head-to-head with the
fight? I think so. Yep.
God damn it. I got too many tabs open. I can't even open a calendar. Yes, good. Yeah, the 16th is a Saturday. So, yeah, we've got Luke Rockhold versus David Branch coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the 16th of September, the Saturday, going head-to-head with Triple G and Canelo. Thoughts on the main event, Rockhold versus Branch?
I'll watch that. Like, I would, like...
Shocking. I'm amazed.
I would go out of my way. Like, there's other fights on the card. I don't know if I'm going to watch them. Like, I will probably because it's live, but if I didn't, I would probably go, I can skip that. I would actually make a point to not skip that fight, so it's good-ish. But, I mean, it's not like we're talking anything special. I mean, Rockhold's got some cash with me. David Branch, honest to goodness, I swear this is true. Every time I hear his name, I think of Banks. Because the only time I ever hear the word branch is when somebody talks about branch of a bank. So every time I hear his name, I just assume a bank is going to fight. And it's really boring.
I think you, granted, Branch doesn't have, like, all the most exciting wins, but I think you underrate him a little bit. And granted, he hasn't been fighting in the UFC in the top guys. I get that. And I'm not saying he's one of the top five guys in the division, but he has won 10 in a row at light heavyweight and middleweight. And overall, he's 21-3 with his only losses. I'm vouching for David Branch here. His only losses are to Rumble, Paul Harris, and Gerald Harris, which was a fluke-like KO slam, which I don't really count. But
well, he's a good fighter. He doesn't really like exist in my world. I don't think he's going to be a top-level guy. And
he doesn't exist in your world. He doesn't exist in anybody's.
I hope not, because again, he's just there. He's good, but he's never going to have like he's never going to be a top guy, and he's not going to be like an exciting fighter either.
Yeah,
he's just kind of like it's a Jim Miller type, except for Jim Miller had a cool gimmick with his brother. And his wife.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is Branch's biggest fight of his career and a huge step up in competition. I favor Rockhold. I think Rockhold will win. But I think Branch doesn't get the praise.
You might be right, because now I think about it, if you'd asked me, like, I don't know, 5-6 months ago, I would have absolutely said that David Branch and Forrest Whitaker are the exact same level fighter. So maybe he is better than I'm giving him credit for.
Forrest Whitaker?
God damn it.
Like the actor with the eye?
Yes, the actor with the eye.
I don't get the reference.
I didn't mean Forrest Whitaker.
Oh,
I meant our current middleweight champion, Robert Whitaker, damn it.
Oh, all right.
Sometimes I just say stupid things.
When you said Forrest Whitaker, I thought you were talking Forrest Griffin, and I'm like, does he mean Forrest Griffin? And I'm like, what is Forrest? I was very confused. Those Robert Whitaker jokes get me every time. In the co-main, semi-main, we did have Mike Perry versus Thiago Alves, but Alves has pulled out for undisclosed reasons. I don't know if he's having brain issues again or a weight cut issue, but Alves is out.
Dude, get out of the fucking sport when people can say, I don't know if he's having brain issues again. Like, nobody should ever wonder, is he having an issue with his brain? Every time you have an issue with your brain, it should come as a surprise. No one should ever be like, he's got another brain thing flaring up there. Like, it's not a fucking wonky knee, it's your brain.
Remember when John Fitch retired because he had bad brain scans and said he was never going to fight again and then fought 3 months later? That was good.
Then he used drugs, too.
So now we've got Mike Perry versus Alex Reyes as our semi-main event.
Oh, great.
Mike Perry's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's good.
No, I mean, like, mentally, he's insane.
I'm trying to...
He's the one whose corner was yelling, like, gook and chink and stuff. Remember him?
Oh, this is going to be great.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck.
He's the one that's got the tattoo over his left eyebrow or whatever that says platinum.
Yeah. Oh. Who could we have him fight? Who would be like the social justice warrior type that he could fight? Somebody ethnic in his corner could just go full, like, I mean, 1970s heel on him. Like, jeez.
I feel like
comedy insults.
Mac Danzig is a social justice warrior for some reason.
Oh, yeah, the vegan shit.
I don't know why he popped into my head.
And Jake Shields would be, too.
Yeah, but he takes steroids.
Yeah,
isn't it funny how everybody in the scrap pack has got popped except the Diaz brothers? Except they get popped for weed all the time.
It is kind of weird, because I always thought like the whole group was clean. I think a lot of that was, I think, because of the Diaz brothers. And
right.
I still think they're clean. I have no reason to believe that they're on stuff. I don't think that they can't be. There's no way, and I'm not joking, there's no way Nick Diaz is responsible enough to not get caught. No way. John Jones and part of me is like, okay, like, he's smart enough, he should know better. Nick Diaz smokes a lot of weed. There's no way in shit he's keeping up to date on all this.
Well, the other thing that was one of the classic moments in that first presser with Connor and Nate. Nate goes, "You're on steroids." Connor's like, "Everybody on your team has failed for steroids. You know they're on that shit?" Like, that was, like, so good. Like, they were going back and forth. Then Nate's just sitting there, like, pouting and goes, "Everybody's on steroids." It was so awesome. Like, those two fuckers have to fight again. That's the fight.
It really is. Like,
it's like Rock and Austin. There's just, like, a magic there. And when they get going, it's nothing better.
Somebody out there in UFC world really wishes you hadn't made that analogy, because this really could end up like Rock and Austin at WrestleMania 17, and like where you can point to and go, "Yep, that is the exact day when the boom ended." Like, that is really fucking crazy to think about. Like, there's no question; everybody in the world can point to it and go, "Yep, that's the one right there that turned Steve Austin heel, and everything died." Like, it was the dumbest thing anyone had ever done. It's so clear. It wasn't like, oh, you know, they overexposed the guy, or they just held on too long, or they couldn't make a new star. It was like, nope, they just made one really dumb fucking idea, and oopsie-doo, Vince isn't a billionaire anymore. He could have legitimately been fucking president of the United States probably if he hadn't made that fucking mistake.
You know what? I didn't have a problem with him turning heel. What I had an issue with was joining with Vince, because it just spit in everybody's face from, like, the last 3 years who had watched all those shows. They're like, now they're friends and they're working together after, like, he made him piss his pants and ruined his car and beat him up with a bedpan. It's like,
yeah, no,
it just ruined. That's what ruined. You could have turned him heel, but have him be a heel and still hate Vince. Like, he didn't have to side with Vince. Like, I felt like they thought they had to do that to get him over as a heel, but instead just washed away the last 3 years of goodwill they built up with all these awesome shows they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, they could have probably had him go with Vince. I think it probably killed him. Well, actually, look, going with Vince actually did kill it literally overnight.
Right.
But I think in the long run, there was no chance for people to get back into it, because when he went heel, he was so awesome at it, and he was so entertaining, but he was absolutely, like, there's no way anybody was truly booing him, like, "We really hate you." Like, that shit with Kurt Angle, no one would watch that and come away anything but going, "That's a talented dude." Like, it's not Triple H who goes out there, and you can really hate Triple H, and he doesn't give you tons of reasons to like him. And, but no, Steve Austin's like, he was so good, but he's goofy. It wasn't him at all. Like, maybe even more than Vince. Like, all of a sudden he went from this badass beer drinker to the dude fucking around saying "what" a lot, which was a great gimmick for a while. And still, I mean, boy, did they fucking kill territories with that thing.
Well, it was funny, too, because they tried so hard to get him over as a heel with, you know, like, I remember one segment where, like, he beat the shit out of Lita with a chair, like him and Triple H like pedigreed her, stunned her, hit her with a chair. And they were so desperate to get him over as a top heel that they'd have him beat the shit out of like the top woman babyface in the company with a steel chair like repeatedly.
And also, right,
and it still didn't work.
The Triple H partnership really was bad too, because you go heel like that, you go heel like that, any kind of big switch, you need to be alone. You need to be in the spotlight, or if there's people around you, you need to be presented as clearly a bigger deal. Like, even Hogan did that with Hall and Nash. Like, he made it, Hogan did, to where he was still the guy in the group, and it revolved around him.
Right.
You know, but Austin, him and Triple H were equals completely, and suddenly he was just another guy, and, you know, Triple H probably absolutely should have gone face at the time, and that could have been a big program, and maybe it would have worked a little. It would have worked better than what they did, which was instead gave us that really great match with three guys and a ghost.
The other thing they did a little bit before that that drove me crazy at the time was they didn't finish that Kurt Angle and Stephanie storyline, where they had a thing going. It's like, those two things were what, like, they still kill me now, freaking 18 years later.
Although, you know what? With time, I look at it and I go, that's the smartest fucking thing anyone's ever done. Because Triple H guaranteed, he absolutely, every selfish little move he's made, the dude is on top of a $1 billion company.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying from a product standpoint, and the television and the popularity, like, if Stephanie had joined up with Angle, like, it would have been awesome. It would have been great TV, and they didn't pull the trigger, and was like, they were building towards it, and then somebody got cold feet.
Yeah, Triple H knew, but he ain't stupid. He's seen what happens. You get wrestlers together with somebody, they're going to be banging each other. I think they're all banging Vince, though, so.
Not anymore. Speaking of Vince,
he's awesome.
Did you see that angle with Kevin
Owens?
Yeah, still calling him not Kevin Owens, but yeah, Kevin Owens. Was that like a legit headbutt, you think?
I think it had to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw no way. Like, I looked at it and go, I mean, there's no way to fake that. I'm sure he didn't, you know, headbutt him, but he definitely angled it to break him open.
And do you think that, like, Vincent anticipated that? Like, think you said lay it in?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they planned that out. There's no way in shit Kevin Owens fucking just headbutted Vince that hard without Vince completely signing off on it. Like, how fucking insane would he have to be? Like, you know what? I'm going to make this real. Wham! Like, everybody would be like, what the fuck are you doing, you psycho? You can't headbutt a 70-year-old billionaire.
Right, but at the same time, it's like, that's a hard thing to gauge.
I can see,
like,
Maddox headbutting Trump.
How hard do you have to...
I can see that. I can see Mad Dog Maddox headbutting Trump. That's fair. Okay, yeah.
But, how do you gauge that? It's not like a blade job or a typical thing. It's like a hard way cut. Like, it's hard to determine how hard you've got to headbutt a guy to open them up like that.
But I think if you really, like, had to do it, you would just kind of do it the way you would if with your knuckle, like, just kind of, like, try and tap it real hard with just the bone. Like, you don't want to go, you know, you could just, you know, you don't want to swing through with your head.
Vince's selling was awesome. Like, he's so old and decrepit now. Like, it wasn't even selling. He legit, like, couldn't get up off the ground because he's
some of those
70 guys, and falling through tables and everything else, and weightlifting the last 60 years.
Yeah,
he was just like,
he gets
so old.
Like, he just crumbles. I'm like, oh, shit, he's hurt. That's an old, and then you're like, that's an old, old dude. Like,
yeah,
if you're 70, you shouldn't be fucking falling around on my, like, my mom's not 70, but she keeps herself in good shape. Granted, she's not a steroided pro wrestler, billionaire, but if she, like, fell down like that once, she'd be like, ow. She wouldn't be getting up and doing it again and getting headbutted.
And then he took a couple more bumps. He took, like, a super kick. He got splashed off the top.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. I'll headbutt my mother and report back to everybody next week to just let you know how it went.
Can you record it?
I don't see why not.
Okay. The other thing I was thinking, maybe he wasn't even supposed to get cut open, but he's so fucking old and his skin is so thin and, like, you bleed easier. Like, you know how, like, old people just bruise for no apparent reason? Like, they get, like, bruises on their arms? Like, I was thinking maybe he's just thinner skinned and you bleed easier when you're in your 70s.
Or maybe the home that your grandmother's in is just abusing her and you fell for the... No, they just bruise easy.
No, I mean, it's a medical thing. You can Google it. Back to UFC Pittsburgh. We've also got Hector Lombard back versus Anthony Smith and a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. One guy to look out for might be Justin Ledette. He's a heavyweight, younger guy, kind of an up-and-coming guy.
Sounds Jewish.
Justin Ledette?
Ledette sounds Jewish.
Pretty sure he's not Jewish.
Probably not.
Don't have that data in front of me. He's from Houston.
Probably not Jewish.
I also believe he's African-American.
We're decreasing the odds of the Jew thing every time you speak.
And his nickname is El Blanco.
But he's black?
I don't... confused. Let's look.
I don't speak Spanish, but I'm pretty sure that means one who is a green character that emits electricity.
He's not white.
So he must be Mexican or something.
Justin El Blanco Ledette.
I mean, if you're in Houston with the nickname El anything, you're probably...
He doesn't look...
If he's a heavyweight, he's not going to look like a normal Mexican either.
Okay.
You know, you get a picture of Mexican
you look,
and then
you look
stretch
at a
him
picture
out.
Of a, maybe he's you got black and Mexican.
You got a picture of Mexican, just stretch him out by a foot and a half.
You look at him and see what you think. You're good with ethnicities.
I get that reputation. That's true.
He is not Armenian.
Yeah, well, there's a chick on The Ultimate Fighter that is.
God forbid. But this card's pretty weak. There's not a lot going on here. Uriah Hall's on the undercard, if anybody still cares about him.
He still exists?
Huh. Yeah, he still exists. Yeah, he's fighting Christoph Jotko.
He still exists.
Well, Branch beat Jotko by decision, so he's on this card as well.
There you go. Yeah, it's Justin Ledette. Okay, he's got something mixed in him.
Maybe. Oh, Uriah.
I remember Justin Ledette. He's a really good boxer.
Yeah, he's got a good jab, I think.
Yeah, he's a really, really good boxer, and he's tough. And he's kind of soft-looking. He's a hell of a boxer, though. Yeah.
He got, like, a four-month USADA suspension for something, too.
Yeah, one of those bullshit four-month suspensions, because that's a normal thing, USADA.
If you had to guess what Uriah Hall's record is right now, what would you say?
17-4.
12-8.
Holy shit. Ooh.
Yeah, he's not that good at fighting.
Yeah, no, he should really stop.
He's lost three in a row. Whitaker, Brunson, and Gegard.
Those are actually three pretty tough dudes.
Yeah, no shit. But he's on a skid.
He's not a good fighter.
Well, he's like talented. You just never can fucking pull the trigger, I feel like.
That's what I tell myself that I am. But some of us listen out to ourselves.
All right. That's all I think that we got for combat sports this week. Did I miss anything?
Oh, did you miss anything? Did you miss anything? I don't know. Let's see here. Valentina Shevchenko offered up a billion excuses for her loss.
Do you have notes?
I'm looking at the front page half guarded.
Okay.
Yeah. I just posted
that. That counts as your notes, I guess.
Yeah. My fucking notes are shit I write all week. We did that. We did that.
Such a badass.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Okay. So where do we want to start here? I got some stuff. Do you think Kid Rock is going to run for Senate? He had a event where he gave a speech. He dropped some F-bombs and yelled about the Confederate flag. And they're talking about him running for Senate in, I want to say, it would be Michigan, right? Detroit, right?
Democrats say they have deal with Trump on young immigrants. Wow. That's a big one. That's a big win for him. Pissing off every Trump's a wild man, man.
What did you think of that? Should we be shipping these kids back to Mexico or wherever they came from?
What was the first question?
Kid Rock.
Oh,
is he gonna run? Is he gonna run for Senate?
I don't know. Actually, I feel like I hate putting that much thought into it. I can just see this. It feels like a publicity stunt for a record.
Yes,
but. That's a weird climate, and he's been friends with, look, Kid Rock was absolutely the same level of celebrity as Donald Trump, so why not?
Hey, I have no idea, yeah. But you keep hearing more and more about it. It's like, holy shit, I know millions of people did it, and everybody had their own reasons for voting for Trump and whatever. But Kid Rock?
Well, look, Sonny Bono. Sonny Bono was a congressman, and there's no way he was at any higher level of respect than Kid Rock.
You don't think? Kid Rock?
Sonny and Cher, they're just hippy-dippy morons. And I mean, Kid Rock has got a funny name, but in this era, again, he's just as big a star as them. It's not like anybody looks at Sonny and Cher and goes, look at the great message they had in this brilliant lyrics. Like, look at Cher now. Look at him. Dead.
The protesters outside, right, of this thing, this Kid Rock thing, he said, if anyone wants to protest tonight, they can protest these nuts.
That doesn't frighten me.
Come on.
That doesn't frighten me nearly as much as Milo's response.
Is Sonny Bono? I mean, he was trying to be kind of professional, right? Like, I don't remember his politics, but...
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. If you're Kid Rock, you shouldn't try to be professional. Don't change who you are. Your only shot at winning is to just be you. You're going to write some sort of Trump thing. And I think that's what Trump's going to show a lot of these people is, look, if you're kind of out there, you can win. You just got to go for it. Because you can never make up for all this shit in your past. There's no way Kid Rock could, his entire life is a skeleton in the closet. He'd spend all of his time just like, well, you know, that's what it was before, and I apologize for it. But no, you can't do it. You just got to go, fuck it. That's who I was. Yeah. You grab these nuts. Again, Donald Trump grabbed people by the pussy, and he's president. The only protesters grab these nuts. That's way less of an offense. Senator Chris Rock. And that fuck that bad happens, man.
Chris Rock would be better than Kid Rock.
Yeah, sorry. Chris Rock would be awesome.
The Rock. There's multiple Rocks that would be better than Kid.
That's true. It is kind of sad when he's not even the top Rock that we want to be running for office. He's number three.
I would say Chris or the before Kid. Fuck.
Kind of a bunch of other Rocks out there, too. That we're not
Did
even
you
thinking.
See this event he put on?
No.
Oh, my God. So here's some of his thoughts. He called out single mothers and who, in his view, over-rely on government assistance. The issue, and this is verbatim.
I guarantee you he's got children that he's not married to the mother. I can guarantee you.
The issue of struggling single parents is an issue close to my heart. But read my lips. We should not reward those who can't even take care of themselves but keep having kid after fucking kid. Of course we should help them out. I don't want to stand here and sound like a jerk.
Wait, did he just literally contradict himself in two sentences? We can't keep helping these people. Look, I'm going to help them out.
But let's help them out with childcare, job training, and find them a fucking place to work. Okay. He denounced white supremacists, which is good. Nazis, fucking bigots, and now again the KKK. I say fuck all you racists. Stay the hell away.
Did he purposely try to rhyme that?
I don't know.
Is he in full rap mode all the time?
It seemed better. He talked about government-mandated health care. Seems the government wants to give everyone health insurance, but wants us all to pay. And to be very frank, I really don't have a problem with that, since God has blessed me and made my pockets fat. But redistribution of wealth seems more like their plan. And I don't believe you should save, sacrifice, do things by the book, and then have to take care of some deadbeat milking the system. Lazy-ass motherfucking man.
That's a... Here's the thing. I will laugh at that, but everything he just said, that's probably 75% of the people out there. What he says is like, I don't really mind if we have that, but I don't really trust the government to do this because I've seen how this shit works. Like, that's what a lot of people, like, they have this knowledge where they're like, no, government won't do this right. They're just going to end up fucking me over. So it's kind of like that'd be nice. But fuck these guys, they can't do it.
He expressed support for gay marriage, but drew a hard line on transgender rights. Things shouldn't be this complicated, and no, you shouldn't get to choose, because whatever you have between your legs should determine the bathroom that you use.
He's rhyming everything. Fuck this. This is all on purpose. No way that's an accident now. He is basing his entire political platform on verses. Like, what his fucking, whatever rhymed best and fit in there. Like, what rhymes the... baby, you felt so moist. What can I rhyme with moist? Pro-life. No, pro-choice. Choice? Yeah, I'm pro-choice, too. Yeah.
And before closing, he called for unity. I believe it to be self-evident that we're all created equal. I said it once, and I'll scream it again. I love black people, and I love white people, too. But neither as much as I love red, white, and blue.
I actually do have this weird association with him and black women. I don't know why, but
that's kind of why Anderson wasn't black.
That's true, but I don't know. I can just see him with being...
She's like, very tan.
I see him with a black chick with an afro. It just seems like something Kid Rock would be into. Otherwise, it's really weird to like yell out, I love black people. Like, there's no context. Like, there's really no
Somebody
way.
Somebody told him we gotta court the African American vote. He's like, I got this.
I mean, even Trump isn't that blatant.
Well, he likes Mexican food.
You know what though? That was him trolling people. It had to be. We have the best stuff here at Trump Tower. He must have been thinking at that point, there's no way I'm winning this shit, so I'm just gonna fuck around. But I mean, as for you know, Mr. Rock the Third in line for the name. I mean, Rock Hudson would be better. He's dead and gay.
Yeah, I was trying to think of other
Rocky rocks. Balboa is not even real, and he'd be better. We would just collectively kind of like, well, I think, what would Rocky do right here? I think he'd tell everybody you only get health care if you're willing to run 3 miles every morning. And that's the policy we would have.
God, I don't know. Like, that's frightening. We were talking about how he progressed from the Salem witch trials. Things like Kid Rock running for Senate. Like, I could see if it was like mayor, like something like smaller, but like Senate's a big deal. Like, just skip everything, go straight to Senate. If Trump can go to president, I could go to Senate.
You know what, though? I think if you got the money, it's probably easier to win Senate than mayor I just feel like when it comes to like Senate, people look more to personalities. Like, depending on the size of the city, mayor's kind of small enough that people are like, actually, that one matters. Like, the guy, the bigger they are, the further away they are from your everyday life. I feel like on some level, people are like, I'm just picking the guy I hope doesn't fuck me that bad. But with the mayor, you'd be like, he has to actually decide. He has to make a real decision. And that's kind of what we did with Trump. We're like, we just bypassed him to the ultimate. And then we went, oh, wait. Kind of overshot it a little bit there. Yeah. Maybe next time when The Rock runs, whichever one has won the Battle Royal, to use that name.
Are you familiar with Jemele Hill?
Yeah, the ESPN chick hosted with the other one at 6 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, she put out some... anti-Trump tweets. She wrote that Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. Not real controversial.
I don't know how old she is, but...
Right, she's probably 40, whatever.
He's more controversial than Jimmy Carter, you say? Ooh.
Right, well, that wouldn't be that offensive, right? That's probably factual for everyone.
I can't tell you what's wrong with it now.
She said his rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period, and that he is unqualified and unfit to be president. He is not a leader, and if he were not white, he never would have been elected. So,
well, okay, that last line is true of probably everything, but, I mean, yes, every single president we've ever had until now, basically, if they had not been white, yes, George Washington would not have been president if he wasn't white. Like, ooh. Yeah,
To me, the real story here has been the reaction. Like, we talk about free speech all the time, and you can say what you want to say, and, like, the stuff Hill is saying here is...
The white supremacist shit's pretty stupid.
It is, but people say it all the time. It's like it's one of the extreme takes. It is what it is. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not defending it, but it's not like something new and outrageous. She's not threatening to assassinate him or do bodily harm or anything like that. She's saying the run-of-the-mill, extreme, left-wing rhetoric.
I can trump this, though, for crazy.
Okay.
Because... this is stupid, but she's not been harmed. ESPN just said, blah, blah, blah. She still has her job and everything. You know that Martin Skrtel guy?
Yes. Skrelly.
Skrelly,
yes.
That's the name, Skrelly. Yeah, he was out on bond pending his trial. He's back in jail now.
I know.
Because he tweeted, I have a lock of Hillary's hair. I'll pay $5,000 if anybody can get me some of her hair. And the fucking judge. And this is the most blatant political thing I've ever seen. Threw him back in jail. Oh, you a public threat against somebody. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you fucking cocks. That's such bullshit. Like, come on, the guy's a fucking scumbag. Don't give him any leverage at all to portray himself as a hero. Dumbasses. My dog is snoring really loud right now. He's across the room. He's across the room, and I have headphones on. I could hear him.
Yeah, so he was sent to jail for posting online bounty on Clinton's hair. I was actually going to talk about this later, but we talked about him a few weeks ago. All the people on the jury hated him and thought he was already guilty. Remember? We went through that whole deal.
It's funny, I was just reading up on more about him today and everything he did. And by like a lot of people's accounts, he's actually a very brilliant person. He's just immature, as they say, which I kind of see, but... in a really weird way, and I'm going to write a piece, I think, entitled Martin Skrelly Saved Millions of Lives. He bought that, well, I'll call it the AIDS drug there. He bought it and he jacked up the price. Went from $13 a pill to $750 a pill. Big outrage. The whole public hated it. Everybody was like, oh, he's such an evil guy, blah, blah, blah. How can there not be something cheaper? And then within months, an Australian company announced that they would be manufacturing it themselves. And something like, I was reading this, nobody made the connection, so I'm taking myself. Within 8 months, that company was offering it for $1 a pill. Martin Skrelly, in his own way, was directly responsible for that pill being 13 times cheaper than it had been a year prior. That's exactly what the market can do. Like, that's an efficiency you could never get with the government. Like, you could not get a congressional hearing that quick. So Martin Skrelly, again, his weird-ass action somehow probably saved lives. But he's going to go to jail because he's a dick. And he's got $70 million. His parents were they're both immigrants from Eastern Europe, and they're both janitors. He left high school at 17. I read this whole Wikipedia. He left high school at 17, dropped out, and just... finished his classes and started working on Wall Street at like 18. Like, this is like one of those guys where put him in jail if you want, but you know he's getting out and he's going to make a whole lot of money. He's going to be a billionaire.
He's so fucking weird. He was the one who spent like the $1 million on that Wu-Tang Clan album. Yeah. Like, I've never been really, he's a weird fucking dude.
He does a lot of stuff. Like, he's like a real, like, he's actually very relatable in the sense of, these are things that you do if you have a lot of money and you want to troll people on Twitter. If you got, you know, 70 million bucks and you're like, this will piss people off, I'm going to buy the Wu-Tang album. Like, yeah, I can see that. Like, you get really in, like, that message board mentality. You're in a flame, or put it this way. If I had that kind of money, I absolutely would have done that to taunt Todd Martin. No question. Not even thinking twice. I would have been like, oh, you like Wu-Tang? Look what I bought. And then I would have burned it right in front of him just to be a dick.
Yeah, it's so funny because I'm scrolling through Twitter now, reading everybody's takes on this. And it's just like everybody's so ingrained in what their take has to be. Like, this guy was threatening Hillary. And the other side is like, this guy's going to jail because he made a joke. It's like, and everything's so politicized. It's like, if depending on who you are, you've got to take a certain stance on everything.
It's so stupid. Like, he was going to go back to jail for something anyways. He just can't help himself. He loves it. This guy is he's a human ball of cocaine.
Well, like, some people are saying he's a danger to society, and other ones are saying, what about his freedom of speech rights? And it's just like, this guy's a dick. Like, why are we even talking about him? Do you know what I mean? It's like, fuck.
Because he's 34 years old, and has $70 million, and he earned it. Look, I'm not saying that, when I say he earned every penny himself, I don't mean, like, honestly. It sounds like he's probably done a lot of shady deals. And probably grifted people on a large scale, but he still made all that. Like, when you scratch and claw your way up from nothing like that, that's how a lot of people start out. You kind of like do that shit until you can become legitimate. Then they call you President of the United States.
That would be something. But anyway, back to Jemele Hill. She made those comments. It got a lot of heat or whatever, and then. Of course, probably Trump hears about it, his panties in a bunch. And my favorite person quickly is becoming Sarah Huckabee Sanders, mostly because of her name. Like, how do you have Huckabee and Sanders in your name and get hired by Trump, of all people? But, like, the whole thing, like, when I first saw her name, whenever she started doing this shit, I'm like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders? I'm like, does she have something to do with Mike Huckabee or Bernie or what the hell? And then no, that's just her random name. And who has their middle name like that?
No. She's Mike Huckabee's daughter.
Is she?
Yeah, that's Mike Huckabee's daughter.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then. Yeah, they appeared in The View together.
Didn't Trump, like, hate Huckabee and talk a whole bunch of shit about him?
Didn't Trump hate everybody, talk shit about everybody? That's what Trump does. I mean, I think Huckabee is so, like, milquetoast, it's difficult for Trump to really hate him. Also, keep in mind, Huckabee had a show on Fox for a couple years here, and you know Trump was, like, probably a big fan. Like, hey, this guy's telling it like it is. All right. Yeah, he's probably got a little bit of a soft spot for him. Like, Ted Cruz, he's not going to like Ted Cruz, because that's a pure rival. Yeah, and plus Huckabee, everybody likes Mike Huckabee. Like, everybody, like, he's just, of all the politicians out there on the Republican side, he's about as nice as it gets. He's this big fat guy from Arkansas.
Remember when Huckabee trotted out that lady who wouldn't let, what the hell was that story? Some lady, like, in Alabama or something, she wouldn't let, like, gay people get married or get their marriage license or something.
That was Kentucky.
It was one of those.
The clerk. And she said she wouldn't issue out the certificate. And he got, like, involved in that. And it was like, nobody
it was
really
such a
cared.
Circus.
Yeah, it was a total circus, and it was covered as a circus. Like, when he showed up, nobody was like, oh, wow, we got somebody important coming to the thing. It was more like a, holy shit, this is really stupid.
Like, but they trotted her out, and he, like, raised her hand like she had just won, like, a UFC fight. And, like, came out with her, and he cut a promo. I'm like, wow, he is desperate as fuck to get back into this race.
You know what's really funny? When you're just describing it,
Yeah.
That is exactly, and I'm not making, well, I'm making a joke, but it's true, exactly what Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have done for an entire career. And, like, in Gloria Allred, and we won't, like, yeah. we don't even think that's twice, right, like, true. Like, that's just, okay, yeah, of course that's what they do. But when, like, a white guy does it, we go, whoa, that's really fucking stupid. Like, it's just kind of odd. It. Like, you'd expect Al Sharpton, he would absolutely show up and shake their hand in public and raise up in some sort of weird-ass victory. And I'll be like, what are you cheering for? But if he did it, it would look natural. Mike Huckabee does it, we're like, oh, Huck, what are you doing?
Well, it was who he was involved with. It was this lady who was, like, protesting these two people getting married, which, whatever, it's a religious thing, fine. But, like, it's, like, her job to do it. Like, she works there, and it's the law, and she's, like, a government official who's supposed to follow the law, and she's refusing to do it. And Huckabee's, like, trotting her out, like, good job breaking the law. Like, that was more the issue.
And I always looked at it as, like, I always felt like nobody's heart was really in it on either side, because it was, like, one clerk in one small-ass county, and, like, again, in Kentucky. It's, like, how many gay marriage licenses was she really issuing here? And it's not like somebody else couldn't issue. Like, maybe it made things a little inconvenient. Like, they would have had to wait an extra half day for their mail to show up or something. Like, it's not like it's a governor or somebody. Like, you know, it's not like when you have, like, the sanctuary cities with the major mayors. You go, all right, you know, get 700,000, you know, there's 700,000 illegal immigrants in Chicago. Like, oh, we got to deal with that problem there. Like, no, it's a fucking nobody loser clerk. Nobody was telegenic on either side. Like, they probably couldn't even find any gay people that she'd actually denied it to. And then Mike Huckabee shows up, and we're all just like, that's it, I'm out. This is stupid.
So we keep getting off topic, but Jemele Hill, she put out those tweets, and then I guess Huckabee's daughter, Sanders, Sarah, here, called the comments about Trump being a white supremacist is outrageous, and saying that Hill should lose her job. Where's the quote? It's one of the most outrageous comments that anyone could make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN. I guess my question to you is, should she be reprimanded? Can she say that? I mean, usually it's more of if there's going to be fallout for ESPN, and then they'll scrap her, but ESPN's got this reputation for being liberal and left-leaning as it is. And there would be a counter backlash if they did fire her. Everybody's going to be like, what the hell, you can't fire, you know, this African-American woman for speaking her mind. And you can imagine what the Stephen A. Smiths and the Sharptons and that whole crew, how they would respond to her being let go for really exercising her First Amendment rights.
Yeah, no, I don't think she won't get fired. If I was ESPN, I wouldn't fire her. My instinct would always just be like, no, this is stupid. Even if I think her comments are stupid, I'd just be like, no, we're not doing anything. But when you have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, yeah, what you do is you talk to her, you go, what you said, whatever. You've been reprimanded. And you just tell her that, and then you just, like, tell everybody, we had a private discussion, we've had an internal reprimanding, and, like, nothing ever happens, and that it just goes away. You just kill it. You don't make a thing out of it. And in a week, again, we're in a Trump news cycle. It's amazing this lasted more than 8 hours. Trust me, like, something's coming. Because Trump's been out of the news with the hurricane. He's raring up. He's got shit planned for people.
Do you think, like, the White House press secretary should even be commenting on this, though? Like,
she was asked about it. And, like, the white supremacist thing, because, like, look, if she doesn't comment on it, people are going to be like, well, why didn't you denounce being called a white supremacist? Trump played that game all summer.
Right.
Then now he's going to probably go out and be like, look, I got to denounce it all. So I denounce that, too. And also, as a way to show how much I am not a white supremacist, fire the black one.
Okay. Well, that was news today in the sports world, media, and political world. Have you seen, we're changing gears here, we're going Hollywood now, have you seen It?
No.
The movie. Any interest?
A little. Like, maybe on Netflix one day.
Okay, so it could be years down the road before you see it. Did very well at the box office. Set some records for a horror film for this time of year. I think it grossed over $100 million opening
weekend. $150 million, something like that. It was just huge.
Yeah, but that doesn't make a difference to you at all.
It surprises me just that it happened, because like I had seen it and like some good reviews had come out, and it's kind of like, all right, maybe it could be okay, but for that many people to go see it, you know, probably just because people are really looking for something that's kind of nostalgic and escapism at the same time. It won't have any long legs, though, because it's a horror movie, and I don't think horror movies... I don't know if they do well overseas or not. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe they do well. Certain shit doesn't do well overseas. I can't see it being big in China or something.
Yeah.
Japan has horror movies. Yeah, no, horror movies do well overseas. Never mind that. It'll do well.
So it's obviously an adaptation of the Stephen King book. It launched to $179 million worldwide, including a record-breaking $117 million North American debut. The movie is taking in an impressive $62 million from 46 territories abroad. And for like an R-rated horror movie, that's pretty impressive, because so many of the movies now, it's like you bring your kids to them. So to get that kind of crowd for a movie about a scary clown is pretty good.
I'm actually like, I don't even, again, I'm so old now, I've been out of the loop, so to speak. But yes. I don't even know if they check, like, do kids get kept out of movies for being rated R nowadays? Like, does that actually happen? Like,
I don't know.
Like, is that a real deterrent, or is just more like a, nowadays these things are just like telling everybody, hey, it's a marketing thing, it's rated R, or something like that. Like, I don't know, you buy your tickets online, you walk through it. You
can't
do everything without even seeing someone, and who's going to give a shit if a 13-year-old wants to see It? Like, if you're in high school and you can't see a movie like It, you shouldn't be alive. Like, that's absolutely what you should do, and that's what you should do in September in high school. You watch It. That's what you should be doing in your life. And drinking and fumbling around in the backseat and cursing yourself, being like, I know I should have practiced with the practice bra, but I'm stupid.
Huh. Reminiscing?
I wish.
I read an article that said, like, professional clowns, you know, clowns who go to parties and stuff, that they're mad, saying this is going to ruin their careers.
Oh, I bet they had great careers, too. You know what else probably hurt their careers? The circus shutting down. I don't think it's it. You know, if you're a clown and then the circus says, well, we're done with this, unless you can do some flips, buddy, you're just doing toy balloons at pizza parlors on Friday nights for kids and families.
That does seem like a sad, sad gig, I feel like.
I saw our family had pizza every Friday night at the same place, and this fucking guy walking around with the balloons every Friday, and we'd be like, you know, 13, 14 years old, and we'd still like, yeah, let's get a fucking balloon. It's kind of like a joke, like, we'd be like, can you make a sword or something? Like, I don't want, like, a pony. And you would do it, and you give him $20, and then your phone rings.
That was my phone ringing. I was trying to pull something up here, but it's hard to make this work, because I am incompetent. Did you hear about Fatberg?
No.
Would you like to?
Sure.
Do you have any guesses what it could be referring to?
No, I'm really thinking about it. Oh, Bill Goldberg's fat.
No.
Oh, never mind. I may have dreamt that then for some weird reason.
Essentially, there's this huge, in the sewer system in London, this large, I'm trying to get the data, smelly blob of diapers, oil, fat, baby wipes, condoms, etc., stuff people are flushing down the toilets, and it's clogging these Victorian sewers, and it weighs 143 tons and is 820 feet long.
And so what they're trying to do is figure out, how can we put this into a pie?
Well, they're more having trouble dislodging it. That's the first issue. They're saying it could take weeks to clear this thing up. Like, it's 820 feet long, which is almost three football fields long, of just, like, shit and sludge and, like, the grossest shit you could ever flush down, tampons, all sorts of shit. And
what does this happen?
I think it builds up over time. But eventually it clogs.
Well, are we really just that far ahead of people as far as, like, learning how to strain out tampons from the water? Is that a tough one? You just get a strainer and you just put it through. A tampon shouldn't fucking get through very far. It expands.
Yes, I get it. They're Victorian sewers, they're claiming. I don't know if that means they're several hundred years old. But I think it's like anything. Like, sometimes the hair in your drain piles up and you get a clog in the drain in your sink or in your kitchen or whatever.
Yeah, my sink is not London.
Right, I'm saying on a smaller scale. Shit, pipes clog up? You've heard of Drano. I mean, stuff clogs.
Yeah, but cities don't.
When you got millions of people for hundreds of years, shitting, you might.
I don't know if New York has a giant diaper thing floating around.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they fix it before it gets this bad, but this has become a story because it's such a massive fatberg. The part of the story that I found even more interesting is that the Museum of London says it's trying to acquire a chunk of fatberg for its museum. Museum Director Sharon Ament said Wednesday that adding the fatberg to its collection would raise questions about how we live today and also inspire our visitors to consider solutions to the problems of growing metropolis.
I knew that's what they would say. It's so fucking stupid. Like, even if, like, one day, like, in the future, we do, like, you know, acknowledge and fix global warming and all this, if you go to a museum, you're not going to want to see a giant blob of diaper shit. Find stuff from fucking else in a fucking museum. I want to see a dinosaur bone or something, not world's biggest toilet. This is stupid.
It does seem odd. And also, it's going to be this rotting, decaying shit.
Well, I'm sure
in a museum.
Preserve it.
What do? You shellac it? How do you preserve decaying fecal matter?
You get a taxidermist in there and
stuff it?
Yeah, you stuff
it. Taxidermic you stuff.
And then you wax the outside.
You're going to stuff it with, like, stuffing, like in a pillow. Stuff it with stuffing.
And then put saran wrap
around
it.
Is how you think you do it. I don't think that's how you do it.
Sorry, most people don't think, how do I preserve shit to put on a wall in a museum? It doesn't come up much in the taxidermy classes.
That's what I'm trying to say, it seems.
By the way, we're doing it to teach kids a lesson.
Okay.
Yes.
What this is. I'm going to try and play something for you here.
He's going to run the jewels.
No. They're cool, though. I like them. Here we go.
She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two fucking kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's been through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her.
Oh, I know this. It's the gay guy with Britney Spears.
Yes. Do you know why I bring that up?
It's the 10-year anniversary.
Ah, you son of a bitch.
Good job. Got it?
Yeah. 10 years ago this week, that kid, Chris Crocker, made famous the line, "Leave Britney alone." And I was like, holy shit, that was 10 years ago? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that was one of the first, like, viral, like, YouTube, internet videos that, like, went crazy. And you know, if you type into YouTube, if you type in the word leave Britney alone is still the first thing that comes up, like, 10 years later.
And here, 10 years, spiritual successor PewDiePie is yelling at your 12-year-olds playing video games.
I don't know much about PewDiePie.
I don't really either, but I know he played video games. He's from a country full of snow, and I think people are really fucking stupid. He's just some dumbass playing video games, but because he's really, it's like modern version of Tipper Gore is what exists.
Oh, because now it is the children. They're playing the impressionable children. The asshole. We made a bunch of people. Shut up. Just like, oh. Just a dumb kid.
I thought he was like 30, though.
I don't know. He looks like, you know, he had a feminine look. Just like the dude with Britney.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is gay, though. What else is going on? All right. I found another article that I thought you would enjoy. You're familiar with selling human organs on the black market, right? All right.
Of course, yeah.
So you should be familiar with...
What, do you need one?
No. You should be familiar with the golden rates. There's this article that talks about how much you can get for parts. How much you can get per gram for bone marrow?
Per gram for bone marrow. Oh, let's see, what would be a per gram for bone marrow? I don't know how much bone marrow you need for a transfusion. I'll say...
$23,000 per gram.
I think it was 23.
If the process is properly done, you'll experience little to no pain, but there may be some side effects after the fact. Unfortunately, it is only to donate blood marrow, not cell, even though it's one of the valuable parts of the human body.
Yeah, that's too much bullshit. Anything? Why can't I sell my fucking? I mean, you get paid a little bit for plasma and blood. If I want to sell my bone marrow, like, if you don't want to make it a look, it's something you could sell. I think it replenishes itself. So why not? It's a safe deal there. You know, like I say, you can go in there and get your spinal tap at the same time. They prick in your arm and maybe shave your head. Box of love. You just cut off all kinds of shit from you. Give it to kids.
How much for a human egg?
Fertilized?
I don't believe so. You can get $12,400 for an egg.
Yeah. Wow.
What do you think the coronary artery is going for on the black market nowadays? Market's a little soft on this.
No, you can sell that. You need that. I was going to say like $100,000, but if you say soft market, I'll say $15,000.
$1,500.
Are they getting them out of cadaver?
Or they're killing a person and taking them, taking everything. Get the liver.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of work for $1,500.
No, but while you're in there, while you're getting the bone marrow and the eggs, you take the carotid artery out too for $1,500. What the hell?
But, like, that's a real important one, and if somebody needs one of those, I feel like they would pay a lot more for something that they will die without it, as opposed to an egg. They could get eggs all over the place, just hang outside an abortion clinic or a 13-year-old's house.
Hey, I'm guessing this is like the free market. It must be supply and demand. Maybe there's not a lot of demand for them.
I guess so, and... I guess that's all it can be. I don't know. I thought arteries.
Do you need your small?
You put that on ice?
Do you need your small intestine?
I don't think. I think you might need part of it, or they have to do a workaround.
Well, you can get $2,500 for it.
I would want way more than $2,500 for my small intestine.
I say getting a new intestine through legal means could cost up to $1.5 million.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna demand a lot more than $2,500 then.
I don't know why this is funny. How much for a spleen?
What the fuck does this? Spleen doesn't do anything. Why would you buy a spleen? Nothing.
$508. I don't know where to get these numbers from.
That's got to go to like some sort of like medical thing or something like that. Nobody's getting a spleen implant. It's a spleen.
The black kid. is currently saying that a scalp is worth $600. I don't know why you're using a scalp.
Why would you hate this? That's a really weird version of Locks for Love.
I want it all. I don't want just want the hair. I want a whole new scalp.
That's got to be some sort of like skin graft, like burn victim thing.
Oh, there's a removed stomach on this. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, for hair, you can get $70 for every 10 inches. That's reasonable. It just grows, and you can cut it off, it'll grow back.
Yeah, that's a good deal. 10 inches?
Yeah.
$70? That's going to take a while.
It is, but, and you're going to look weird with that long hair.
I guess if you got a lot, if you're a girl or something.
Or if you're planning on getting a haircut, you might as well get a $70 for it, too.
Yeah, get paid for a haircut, that'd be great.
And in a follow-up to our story from last week of the police shooting the tiger in Georgia, an Arkansas Game and Commission spokesman says authorities are investigating the discovery of tigers in a barn in Arkansas. Spokesman Randy Zeller said that 7 tigers, 6 lions, and 1 leopard were discovered Saturday in Poinsett County in cages. Zeller said the sheriff's department went to the scene after receiving an anonymous tip. Exotic animals were found with their owner and in good health. Zeller said the animal's owner, a man from England, was keeping them until they could be flown to Germany. He said the man possessed the appropriate paperwork for ownership of the animals. Zeller said the man didn't alert the county that he would be temporarily holding the animals in Arkansas. State law generally prohibits ownership of such animals with some exemptions, including accredited zoos and people with annual permits that have been the animal years ago. According to Arkansas regulations, bringing such animals to the state is restricted for without prior written approval from the commission. They're still reviewing the origin of the animals. So some guy from England brought multiple lions, tigers, and leopards to Arkansas with the idea he's going to bring them to Germany. And they're just, like, hanging out in a barn in Arkansas.
I mean, it is a circuitous route, I'll admit.
Took the scenic route.
I really feel like the plan must have gone wrong somewhere. Because when your plan eventually can, you know, you conclude on, all right, we're going to go to America. Where? Arkansas. Like, what? No. I mean, I guess it's a good place to hide exotic animals, because if I was looking for an exotic animal someone stole from, I presume this is a caper, by the way. Yes, I said caper. I wouldn't look in Arkansas, and I guess nobody else did, and then some poor bastard goes, oh, well, there's a fucking tiger in there. That's it. I'm done with this. I'm out. I'm out. I can't take this.
I get sort of the fascination with these animals, but I don't want to have to deal with one or be around one all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I can see, like, zoos are shitty places, but, like, I get why you would go to a zoo and check out the animals or whatever. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, wildlife and what Earth has to offer. But I can't imagine having to care for and be in charge of a fucking lion. Like, why do you have 6 of them?
That's that incredible ultra alpha male thing. That's a Donald Trump move. Vince McMahon, Mike Tyson, like, everybody that owns one of those, generally you look at it and go, well, why does this say, no, that's not true. There's a lot of just dumb white trash that has this shit, too. So you have the dumb white trash, or just some dude you go, okay, it's like a caricature you find in The Simpsons, but he's a real person.
Speaking of white trash, do you watch Ozark at all? Ozarks?
Yeah. Yep.
Have you watched the whole first season? I have not. I'm like 5 or 6 episodes in. It takes me a long time to get through this stuff. You like it? What were your thoughts on it?
I enjoyed it for the most part. I pretty much always enjoy anything with Jason Bateman.
Me too. It's weird.
I think he's just so relatable and nice. Like, I think some of the praise for the show has been a little overblown. Like, people are like, it's as good as Breaking Bad. I'm like, no, it's not that good. Like, I understand, like, the urge to connect it, kind of.
It's funny. I said the same thing. Yeah.
Like, it's very good, right.
but it's way more unbelievable than Breaking Bad.
Like, I'm just saying,
like,
something.
I don't know how. I can picture some chemistry teacher making that stuff. I don't know about laundering money, but like that kind of money, trying to launder, it's like, can you really do it that quick and not get caught by the government? Like, that's a lot of attention and a lot of money all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm about 6 episodes in, and I like it. I want to try and finish it. It's just hard to find time sometimes, but it when you just said the white trash with animals, I was picturing those guys with the bobcats in the cage, thinking they were going to sell them, and they were going to like breed them, but they actually had 2 males.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I can see that. It's either them or think about it, they're breeding to sell to some other asshole who's just gonna look and go, "There's my tiger I own," and he just feeds it and uses it to intimidate people and watch out for the tiger. I mean, what's a fucking tiger?
Yeah,
you can't play with it.
I don't understand it. It's beyond me. I did finish Glow too. I was proud I finished that. It ended okay.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I guess it might be a series. I kind of liked it more as just like a self-contained thing.
Yeah, it's been renewed for a second season. It's definitely coming back.
Like, there's stuff to do with it, but I liked it just. I have a feeling the next season won't be as good.
Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. I was actually a little disappointed with it, but it was all right. It was okay. I'll check out the next season because it's something to watch. But anything else going on in your world?
Not that I remember or think is important.
Anything on Half-Guard that we should be looking out for?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing I want to talk about publicly yet, but there are plans.
Oh, all right. I look forward to hearing about those.
Yep.
All right. On that note, thank you for listening. Even if there is nothing good on halfguarded.com, check it out anyway. You might stumble upon something old that you might have liked. Half-Guarded on Twitter. There's an Instagram. There's all sorts of stuff out there. You just got to go look for it. Thanks for listening.
I'm finished.